All right, sorry everyone. We need to get started. Welcome everybody, and thank you for coming out today. We have a lot of things on the agenda as usual. First of all, this meeting will not be videotaped today because of the construction. But doesn't the place look great so far?
Yes.
And this is just the beginning. By the time you come next time, we won't have chairs that are taped together, hopefully. So anyway, if we could start with the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And if you please remain standing for a moment of silence, and I'd like to ask you to think of Gary Keith and his wife in the moment of silence. Mary's brother-in-law or brother died very suddenly and unexpectedly at a young age. Thank you. May I have a motion to adopt the agenda?
I'm still moved.
Well, I want to make one amendment.
Okay.
I wanted to, because number 7 is to discuss a process to finalize resolution and ordinance that is voted on and approved by commissioners. I think the focus of this, the town manager, or I sent all of you a table and a timeline, and the town manager and I are reconciling. Mark, you can correct me if I'm wrong, if I misassumed anything. The town manager and I are reconciling, as of an April, May 7th email message, the timeline that has to do with processing procedures. We're reconciling an issue having to do with a matter that we may not agree with on the timeline. So I'd like to resolve that before we do that agenda item, unless Mark has objections.
I do.
Yes. You do have objections?
Yeah, I'd like to discuss it.
Okay.
Okay, well, I just didn't know if we wanted to discuss it
until we settled our differences.
We can still settle your differences.
Okay.
So, all right. Any other suggestions and changes, or do we have a motion to accept the agenda?
Motion to accept the agenda.
Thank you, David. Anyone else second, please? Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, very good. Approval of the minutes. Does everybody have a chance to look at them?
I did.
Okay. Yeah. A motion to approve or any edits?
I'd just like to have more summary on some of the items because I'm afraid the tapes haven't been real clear. Some of them were.
Oh,
clear.
Yeah.
So I would like, Mark, is that okay? I'd like to have in the future, I know that our solicitor talked about the AG's requirements, and I think we're meeting those by way of the minutes, but we've had problems with some of our taping, and I think to play it safe, could we have a little more summary on the items so we don't have to look them, especially so many non-residents who aren't here in town.
Yes.
And they look at these. Thank you.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes then?
Second.
Okay. Second, David. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Several announcements in addition to those that are not on the agenda. We have Lions Club Day. Judy Davis is not here because I guess she was supposed to help set up. But by the way, the Arts Fest has been postponed until tomorrow, I guess because they're expecting high winds and rain and thunder and lightning and all that stuff this afternoon. When I got up and said high winds, I looked out, there wasn't any wind at all, but I guess I was looking at the calm before the storm. So at any rate, that will be tomorrow afternoon. And the Lions Club Bay Day, Judy Davis suggested that I just mentioned you will be, I think, September 5th, and that will be a very nice day. Where they have boat rides and other activities. And Dale, do you know any more?
I wish I could tell you everything, but I would encourage everybody to look it up online.
Yeah, and save the date, most of all. Okay. And then, let's see. A couple things. I just wanted you to notice when you go in and out today, there is a new case out there for announcements, and these are going to be at every dune entrance now. I think it will be a great improvement, and I thank you to Mark for coming up with that idea. The idea is then that we can post notices inside of there, and if we change like parking regs or something like that, all we do is change the paper. We don't have to go out and put stickers over the signs or buy new signs. So, and we can include announcements of other events and so forth. So that will be there, and it will be at every dune entrance along with a bench and a bike rack. Is that correct, Mark? At every
yeah.
student entrance. So I think that's a wonderful change. I had mentioned to you before about the height limit in Sussex County, that they've allowed two hotels to be built at 60 feet, and this council sent in a letter, I guess I don't have my thing here. This council had sent a letter into Sussex County Council opposing that. I'm very happy to say that George Cole, who's our representative, did get that changed with a unanimous vote, and now the height limit is at 42 feet, so no one can go beyond that in the future. We had a great chihuahua race last week. This was the press coverage. An underdog and a purebred duke it out in Dewey. It was great. But you had to see it. It was really, really cute. Okay, and I guess, did I forget anything? Fred, did you want to do any update on Dickinson, or do you want on Dickinson Avenue parking, or do you want to do that during the attorney's report, or do you just want to
okay?
do that? Mm-hmm. All right. And this, yeah.
Can I just mention, if the public needs to speak, since the system is not operating today, if they could just stand closer to the tape recorder, it might make
these mics are working or not?
I don't think so.
We're not taping anything.
No, well, we are. There's a tape recorder
there.
Right there.
Oh, there. Oh, okay.
Hidden behind the flowers.
Hidden behind the flowers, by the way. I brought these to my garden this morning because I know it was a rough winter for everybody, and I figured it'd be nice
to
see.
The public speaks, and they could get closer to that as opposed to that.
All right, good. I'm glad you pointed that out to me. The other announcement, and this is very, very disturbing to me, there's an ordinance that's been introduced into the state legislature called House Bill 333. It is an ordinance that would change the charters of every town in the state and limit their powers to tax. There's something called the All Powers Clause in many of the charters, including ours, and this is how we actually won a lawsuit against Alex Perez in Highway 1, who claimed that our business taxes, our business license fees were too high. He claimed they were a tax, and that in order to have a tax, we have to have a referendum, which is not the case. This went to court, and we won the case. In fact, the judge came back and said, we have an all powers clause, and you can tax whatever you want to do. Well, what has happened since then is it's pending right now at the Supreme Court. But in the meantime, our representative, Pete Schwarzkopf, introduced an ordinance that would change the charters of every town so that we do not have the taxing authority. We can only, for business license fees, we can only charge the cost of administering the business license, which would be very minor. It would not include code enforcement. It wouldn't include public safety. It would include enforcement. It wouldn't include anything but the actual administrative task of administering the license. And so we plan an all-out attack on this. The Delaware League of Local Governments is planning an all-out attack. The Sussex County Association of Towns will also be opposing the bill. And so I welcome anyone who wants to write in letters to the editor about it, to find more about it, and to send in your opposition letters to the state Senate and the state legislature or House. And I have to leave you with this one last comment. Why is Pete Schwarzkopf, who is our representative, catering to the interests of a wealthy businessman who is suing this town over the interests of this town and its people? Good question to ask him and to put in letters to the editor, okay? So the first thing is an update from...
Could you explain to me, as just a homeowner and maybe other people as a business owner, how this is going to impact our lives?
Well, I was told yesterday by the lobbyists for SCAT that we might have to change our charter to put in a property tax to cover the cost of the place. That's what...
Suppose we can't fully fund... the Beach Patrol's budget or Sam's budget,
sure.
Then what might happen?
Well, if we can't afford them, I mean, obviously we're going to have to make cuts. We'd have to cut the police force. We'd have to cut the lifeguards.
So generally, Pete's proposal would impact people's jobs and
absolutely.
Public safety
yes.
services that all towns in Dewey Beach are currently providing.
Yes, that all towns in the state are
right.
currently providing, because all of them, like, from what I understand, is Dover, Delaware has a tax on the casinos. But it's not blessed by the State Assembly, so therefore they'd have to go back to the State Assembly, get a charter change to get their approval to continue a tax they've had. It just causes a mess, and I could see a lot of lawsuits from people, you know, that don't want to pay a tax and then suing towns because your tax is illegal now. Okay. So anyway, go ahead. And any other? Did that answer your question?
I think that helps to explain a little bit. We'll put it more in perspective on the average homeowner is that, you know, that this will cut the revenue that the towns need to provide public services, and hence it trickles down through people losing their dogs.
Absolutely.
Services being discontinued, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that helps people understand how you know they're. You know, they have a horse in the race.
Oh, everybody in this room has a horse in the race, because it means, you know, we would end up either laying people off and discontinuing services, or we'd have to raise taxes on the people, not the business.
Yeah. To piggyback onto that comment, our code in 117.1, which is the business license fee, provides, protects and preserves the safety, health, peace, cleanliness, good order, and welfare of the town of Dewey Beach. So what Commissioner Mahler is referring to is the safety.
And you want to read the rest of that sentence.
It says, and its citizens, all activities as stated herein shall be required to obtain a business license and pay a license fee related to the investigation, regulation, enforcement of said activities.
See, that last part would be deleted, and then only the administration.
Right.
That last part.
That would be changed, but it would be, the key words are safety, health, peace, cleanliness, good order, and welfare. Those are the key words.
Come on up, Marcia. I'm going to talk here, Marcia, working. Sorry.
I just want to Marcia Schick, Street. Not only is that disturbing that someone who's a representative of the people would sponsor such a bill, but I think you all should go back through the minutes of the meeting, which
we did.
I have transcribed.
We have it.
And remind everyone that when this came up, Commissioner Howe asked him directly twice, if the court ruled that we were able to tax, would he interfere? And he said, absolutely not.
Right. Well, the other thing is that I have heard Pete Schwarzkopf on two different occasions before an audience of 100 people and more saying he does not get involved in town politics.
Now, another thing,
I think this is over the top getting involved, so.
And the comments that from the League of Local Governments and the Sussex County Association of Towns, almost every, I would say 80% of their comments about this with the lobbyists, et cetera, deal with Dewey Beach. Dewey Beach is mentioned throughout because of the Chancery Court decision.
Yeah.
So it's a Chancery, this is because of the Chancery Court decision and the town of Dewey Beach that we're dealing with this house bill. It's very black and white.
Right. Bottom line is, our representative, Pete Schwarzkopf, is helping Highway 1 sue this town, win their lawsuit against this town, and usurping the courts. That's what's going on. So if that doesn't make you mad, nothing will. All right. Yes.
On Monday meeting.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much for reminding me. We need to schedule a meeting on Monday, and I know that Gary and David probably won't be able to make it, but it would be a quorum. We couldn't put it on the agenda for today because we just found out about this ordinance on Friday. But we intend to develop an all-out attack on this, and we need to get together to vote because we may need to spend money for a lobbyist. We care that much about this issue, all right? So I need to know what your schedule is for Monday. Everybody, what time? I don't even know if I know what my schedule is.
Afternoon's better for me.
I would think afternoon is best. How about you, Courtney?
Yeah, I'm about 4 o'clock in the room.
4 o'clock? That should be fine. 4 o'clock with you? All right, so 4 o'clock Monday?
And it would be considered an emergency?
Yes.
Because of the time-sensitive decision.
And how can we get this notice? Can we do it today, or?
I can probably do it today, if not first thing Monday morning.
Monday morning would be all right, but it would still be 2 hours if it was early, or 6 hours if it's early enough, right? Okay, so an emergency commissioners meeting on Monday at 4 to discuss that here if anyone wants to attend.
Where would it be held?
Right here.
Thank you.
Yeah. All righty. First is an update on beach operations, and we asked Todd Fitchman. And Todd, I want to limit you to about 10 minutes, no more. While we're waiting for Todd, by the way, I forgot one thing. Our newsletter is coming out. It looks wonderful, very Very well done, and you should be getting it in the mail shortly. Yes.
Thank you to Elaine.
And thank you to Elaine. She did a wonderful job on it.
Nice job.
Yeah, wouldn't have happened without her. Okay, Todd, sorry for the interruption.
Greetings, everyone. Good morning. Todd Richmond, Captain of the Dewey Beach Patrol. I just wanted to commissioners, everyone to know in the town that we are fully staffed at this point, and we will be prepared to resume our responsibilities May 23rd. Through the Memorial Day weekend into the Labor Day weekend. And the services that we will be providing are as conventional and traditional open water rescue, emergency medical services. We will have on staff this summer three state of Delaware and national certified paramedics that will operate from this facility and serve the dual role of open water rescue lifeguard and emergency medical service technician. So that means that anyone, if you dial 911 for an emergency call, we will be dispatched from this office and will respond to any medical needs within the Dewey Beach town limits and proximity due to, you know, our right to respond and so forth, and provide basic life support. We will also be providing missing persons recovery. We will be providing beach evacuations during inclement weather events, including lightning. If and when we have lightning present in the area, we must evacuate the beach, so that will continue as always. We will also be providing, if and when needed, based on demographics of what we have in town, based on population, and the observed need, we'll be providing night patrol. We will be providing civil code violation summons issuances on the beach for a series of civil violations such as possession or open container alcohol consumption. We will be providing civil violations for littering, glass on the beach, those items that are listed in the code under civil violations applicable to the beach facility. We will provide beach event management, meaning that the different activities that are proposed to occur on the beach, we will make sure that all permits are in hand for beach fires, events, special events, and so forth, and making sure, obviously, safety is the first consideration there. We will also be providing, in terms of recreation, we will have our basketball system set up here on Dagsworthy Street for the public use around the clock. We will also have 18 tetherball stations set up on the end of each street. The tetherball is a fixed unit thing. It doesn't really pose any real safety risk other than maybe somebody getting bumped in the head or something like that. But the popularity of the tetherball has blown our expectations, where we even have people lining up to play this tetherball. And we're not talking about just kids here. We're talking all ages. So that's a unique, novelty thing that we have here, and we'll continue that. We'll also continue the handicap beach access chair process. We had close to 600 usages last summer, so we do provide that service. We will pick up the handicapped person, deliver them to their area, and we have a system for that call-in where we'll need certain information on, you know, driver's license, phone numbers, and so forth. So we have a process for that. In terms of community outreach, we'll continue our junior lifeguard program that has become extremely popular and successful. We had close to 260 participants last summer, so we will continue that. That does require a fee of $20 now to help offset the costs involved and the labor and the materials and so forth. Most of that program, though, is subsidized through private donation. We'll also have our youth recreation program in the evenings here on the end of the street at Dagsworthy for youth and to come down. We have basketball, volleyball, tetherball, soccer, lacrosse, wiffle ball. There's a whole series of events that the youth can choose from to participate in. The lifeguards will coach or participate or monitor these events. And both the junior lifeguard and the youth rec, they start on July 2nd, I believe is the date. But if you go onto our website, www.deweybeachpatrol.com, all this information is clear there, and it explains the process. And junior lifeguard program and registration forms are there, and the youth rec is fully explained there and what you have in terms of a user available to you. We'll also be providing our educational outreach events. We do host here Cub Scouts or any kind of youth groups that want to come in and be exposed to classroom-type situations and practicum out on the beach for open water rescue, history of life saving, those types of things. And we're all providing our environmental outreach day, which is very, very popular. For those that have ever participated in that, it's held at Sunset Park. So we like to promote the park, and that's done on the inland bays with sailing, and we bring a bunch of state agencies in, Department of Natural Resources, Center of Inland Bays, so forth, where children go station to station and learn about the coastal lagoon or inland bay ecosystem. And we'll also be prepared, obviously, to work hand-in-hand with UAPD for managing and maintaining the safety on the beach. If and when we need their support, we call. We have a protocol where they come and support us. If a civil violation goes bad and then it becomes criminal, so to speak, and we need help, we'll also be prepared to assist the town and UAPD and incident command if and when we have situations such as hurricanes or natural disasters or any kind of event that might warrant incident command support. We're prepared and ready for that with our command staff here. That being said, it's a very brief overview. I did have some recommendations for future operations, and that is one concern, as always, I mention every year, is the popularity of our beach as a user friendly to dogs. We have seen a rate and frequency increase of dog bites, dog problems, different things of the dogs that kind of run around. We like the dogs. We're not against dogs. I don't want anyone to get the impression that we're for or against anything. But it is a concern, and so it's something that probably needs to be discussed. We could have anywhere between 200 and 300 dogs on the beach at any given morning.
What do you recommend?
I have always recommended a leash law unless the dog is watering.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, if you bring the dog to the water and you're throwing the thing out and
yeah.
it's going in and out of water,
mm-hmm.
or she's going in and out of water, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But when the dog comes back out, the dog should be placed on a leash.
Mm-hmm.
Because most dogs, the majority of dogs, run free. And the fecal matter is a huge problem. We have had people that have been bitten on the beach where we've had to quarantine the dog. We can't find the dog. We have to take the person immediately to VB to be assessed, and that's a very painful task for rabies at state law. That has to happen. And fortunately, we've never had anything come back against us on that, but it's just food for thought.
How many dog bites did you have last year?
Yeah.
I think we had 2 last year. I don't recall right offhand exactly, but...
Could you get us that information on exactly how many issues you've had with dogs and what types? That would be helpful. Thank you.
The other complaint that we do get is people will be sunbathing or laying down, sleeping or whatever, and dogs for some reason may come over and lift their legs.
It's not a pleasant way to wake up.
It's not a good way to wake up. Or the dogs will go, if they're free, to the food vending station.
Yeah.
And that's where food is served. So you got, it's obvious the problem there.
You got about 2 minutes left.
Okay. The other thing is if we could get support on when each events are going to be taking place so we can prepare. We do like to assist and help out and demarcate areas or do whatever we need to do so that the majority of people and the passive beachgoer understand and know where the events are and if they're already at risk or they should stay out of there because they're not paying to be involved in that situation. You know, we're there for support and to help with the safety. To date, I don't know if this is real water, but we do have a perfect safety record here in Dewey Beach for the last 18 years. We have had no loss of life or exacerbated injury. No liability has come our way because of that, and that's what we're all about. So that being said, that would conclude my report.
Let me have one question. Go ahead. just because there was so much talk recently about skimboarding, I was hoping for people who aren't familiar, you could review the rules, but more specifically for, I think, everybody, just talk about your team's philosophy regarding skimboarding and whatnot and how to make sure everyone's safe.
Yep, I would like to do that, and I would like everyone to be clear right away that we are not against skimboarding. It is not against our philosophy. We know the culture of Dewey Beach. My children skimboard every day. So we are for skimboarding. We understand it's integral to this town. However, there is an inherited risk and safety factor involved in skimboarding. If the skimboard is discharged basically from every event, there has to be a safety concern that is addressed. So the way that it stands right now, skimboarding is unregulated and free will. first come, first served, if you will, from sunrise, technically from 5 a.m. in the morning until 10 a.m. in the morning. So it's wide open then. It's wide open from 5 p.m. until 1 a.m. in the morning. I know you don't want to do it at dark, but it's still allowed. It is permissible and allowed at any time in the town of Dewey Beach, as long as there is a 100-foot buffer between the user and any passive beachgoer or active recreation person swimming in the ocean. And the reason why we came up with that 100-foot buffer, which we did years and years ago, was because we do want to accommodate the skimmer, but the end of each trick, if you call it trick, I'm not sure of the language, the skim board gets discharged. Whether you're a novice or a pro or whatever, there's the potential. And we have had situations in the past that required advance or transportation by ambulance or whatever because of injury from skim board. So if we can't have the liability, so we got to make sure it's safe. So what we request is that we keep it as it is. I don't see anything wrong with what we're doing now. We do everything we can to accommodate skimboarding. When there's the skimboard event, we work with them and buffer this and keep the people back. When there is the clinics and so forth, we work with the clinics and allow them to proceed accordingly and try to help buffer swimmers and everything away from there. We go down and educate people and try to stay away from the skimmer. There's the 100-foot thing there. And even when it is in the law, we have a law that says during weekends and holidays from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. it's not permitted. We lax on that, just like we do with sporting events. As long as it's safe and there's room in 100 feet, then we don't enforce that law. So I just wanted to make it clear that we are accommodating to the best that we can, but we have to be concerned with safety so that no one is injured.
And you do a good job at it.
Thank you.
Greg, you had a question?
Yeah, so I don't remember having your summer report from the fall.
Okay,
but I do, in casual conversations with some of your staff, there was concern about broken equipment, maybe not having enough equipment. Hopefully by now you have received those kind of comments from your staff and you've come up with a planned budget for this year. To address the shortcomings. I think one of the items was umbrellas were broken. People did not have umbrellas, which really concerned me because the guys are out there all summer in the blaze of the sun. So have those kind of issues been resolved? And I believe there was one person that was talking about the need for, I don't know whether it was a buggy or something, or a jet ski or something like that, to be able to deploy faster. Have those issues been addressed? And do you have is your budget adequate? I mean, I was just amazed at how many things you're doing. I just when you start listing all these things, it's just a huge. That's a lot of work, and I understand this is not your full-time job. This is this is a summer job, I guess, but it could certainly be a full-time job given all those items. But what about the budget? Are you getting an adequate budget to support this, or are there still shortcomings?
I don't think so. I think the budget that we prepared and submitted, or I prepared and submitted, was $273,843.75 to cover all of these things. And and that would be for the entire summer plus several weeks past late Memorial Weekend. Sorry about that. I think we have an adequate budget number. A lot of these materials and goods and supplies and consumables and emergency response equipment, as you may or may not know, the funding for that is provided from donations. So we have plenty of funding available through what we call our below the line funding budget. There will be some additions provided this summer, is my understanding. At least there is a funding source to enhance our emergency medical service. Because we do have State of Delaware certified paramedics on staff to serve everyone's needs here, God forbid if someone goes down with a heart attack or traumatic injury, car accidents, these are top-of-the-line, real live paramedics here. So they have standards that they've got to operate under, and they have certain equipment that they have to have by law and to maintain their certification. So the, some of the businesses have offered the funding to provide all this material, and those paramedics have done a lot of work with those businesses to acquire this stuff. So to answer your question, to the best of my knowledge right now, we have complete funding to support every program that we have here.
If I can just add, Todd and I started our budget process, not too similar to what Chief and I did. Probably before the first of the year is when we began working on our budget. And like other things, Todd and I are not always completely in sync on what it should be. But at the end of the day, Todd came to me with a salary structure, wage structure for his staff, and it was approved. There was no, it was, you got 100% of the wage. And he also submitted a budget for his, not only payroll, but his equipment, uniforms, et cetera, and he was given 100% of what he asked for. So we were able to ratify a budget that gave him what he requested. Is that a fair statement?
Fair enough.
Okay.
So the ConOps is developed when? When you develop a ConOps, or is it a consistent one from year to year?
Well, it starts immediately when the season ends. Okay. So what we do is a whole historical analysis of what we had in terms of staffing, what we had in terms of equipment use, what needs to be replaced. So it's a long, tedious process of review and analysis of everything that we did in the prior season, and then we convert that into the man hours.
Okay, so the ConOps from 2013 season, has there been any substantial change between that and what you're projecting for 2014?
Great question. There is a projected change, and the reason why is in order to keep competitive with staffing. Lifeguards don't fall out of trees. These are different people. They've got to have extreme physical and mental wellness.
Yeah.
So it's a different individual. It's not someone that you just pull off the street. These are typically recruit from athletic programs, college, university, Division I athletic programs, and so forth. Try to get that type of mental and physical wellness person. City of Rehoboth, salaries are probably close to a dollar more.
Well, I'm not talking about salaries at this point. I'm just talking about analyzing the requirements of what services you are being asked to deliver on the beach. So once you get that part defined and documented, the next step would be to put dollars to it.
That's correct.
So going back to the ConOps, is the ConOps that you work with now pretty much standard from year to year? Or is there other things that you feel might come into play in 2014 that you didn't have to anticipate in 2013?
They are standard from year to year, as the town requests additional services. So there hasn't been a request for any additional service because we basically have it all covered then.
Okay, so at this point for this cycle of planning, then the only thing you're doing is adjusting the cost of living.
That's correct. Well, to keep competitive wage. So I did raise the wages. Starting pay rate now is $11.90 an hour. Starting pay rate for a lieutenant is $13.50, and the starting pay rate for an emergency medical service technician is $11.90.
And how does that compare to the rich towns in Dewey Beach?
We're significantly lower, but we close the gap. I got to try to close the gap because we do. I have lost quality people to other municipalities. So we're almost a dollar under the starting wage for City of Rehoboth. We're about 75 cents, something like that, under the town of Bethany, and that's kind of who I compare to. Now, we are different. We're unique here because these other municipalities do not provide emergency medical services because they have fire departments. So it's critical that we do that because, as a lot of you know in here, we come into your homes and provide assistance to relatives or whatever it might be. For emergency medical services. And
so how do you, if God forbid, my wife called and said, you're having a heart attack, how do you get to my house?
We would be there in less than 30 seconds. Typically, I would respond.
And they do. I've been there. No.
How do you get there with the equipment in 30 seconds?
We have emergency medical service APE vehicles that are loaded with AEDs, all the different medical supplies, respirators, oxygen, rebreathers, everything that would possibly be needed for basic life support to sustain life until advanced life support comes.
And you transport down the beach?
No, our ATVs respond to that, to the site of incident.
Okay.
And then from that site of incident, we maintain life there until advanced life support comes to that situation. So we communicate with the advanced life support through 800 megahertz.
Okay, we've already gone 5 minutes over, so we have to call this to a close.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Doc.
Gary, I would welcome you to join us, assuming we're all standing here and breathing next year. As we formulate the budget, I'd welcome you to join us in that process. It will probably begin in December or January of next year.
Okay. Does that go directly to us?
Mm-hmm. So we typically respond 12 minutes. It's about an average of 12 minutes faster than Rehoboth Volunteer Fire Department.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in cardiac arrest or respiratory distress or traumatic injury from a car accident, that's beyond significant. You know, the matter of seconds is critical. And our average response time here in the town is about 30 seconds. That's very fast.
It's good. All right, good enough. Thank you very much, Todd.
Can I just add that comment about skimboarding? There were some misunderstandings about skimboarding. It is, as Todd is permitted on every street. The Cape Gazette article, sort of the May 2nd article, made it sound as though Chesapeake Street was being the designated street for skimboarding. That wasn't the case. It was being considered for some other options. But it still with a continued a permitted use, just as in last summer. The annual event will be on New Orleans Street in August, just as in last, no?
No, it's on Swede Street.
Oh, Swede, I'm sorry, back here. Swede Street. But it'll be scheduled just as it was in previous years.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Great.
Okay. Very good. One thing I forgot to mention, well, I didn't forget. There was a reason I didn't do it. I wanted to mention that we are having a Planning Commission meeting at 3 o'clock on sea level rise. It's been ongoing. The Planning Commission has been working on it for over a year and wanted to share with you some of the local press about this issue. First of all, Bowers Beach ended up being cited for long-standing rule violations by the National Flood Insurance Program and actually triggered a $50 annual surcharge on policyholders because they were not keeping on top of this as we are. Flood insurance rates are rising, and it does say in this one that by reducing possible flood damage, homeowners can directly affect how much they pay for flood insurance, and the reductions can be from 5% to 45%. And also that Lewis has actually hired a consultant to deal with this. I don't know how much they paid him, but I wanted to say that we had this service free of charge by David King, who has done a wonderful job, and I'd like David to come forward. And we'd like to recognize him for his efforts in the town of Dewey Beach. For those of you that don't know, David has been on our planning commission since 2005.
Probably.
He also has served on our road committee, our infrastructure committee, and was chairman on our budget finance committee and chairman for a year. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So we have a certificate of appreciation here. Says the mayor and commissioners of Dewey Beach hereby recognize David King for 9 years of service that he has provided to the Planning and Zoning Commission. As vice chair of this committee, David has helped guide the town through the development of the comp plan and most recently the 5-year update of the plan. On behalf of the commissioners, property owners, and business owners, we are grateful for his volunteer service to the town of Dewey Beach. And with that, we'd like to give you a gift certificate to your favorite place, The Point.
Wow.
Next, we have the discuss and possibly vote on having massages on the beach as recommended by the marketing committee. And I think Carla is going to be giving us a presentation. For those that don't know her, this is Carla Carter, who is chair of our marketing committee. They've worked hard on this initiative all year, and we'd like to hear what their proposal is.
All right, thank you. I would like to offer an introduction to Heather Schaefer, who would be our vendor on this project, to give some perspective to the town. I'm As you heard, Chair of the Dewey Beach Marketing Committee, I certainly like to recognize some of our other members, Harry Wilson, Dale Cook, Marilyn Seitz, as well as Corey Mahoney and Denise Kirkman are also members of our committee. So we certainly like to recognize that we have many of families and contributors to Dewey Beach. Many of the city members have been recognized for their services for the city. I'd also like to recognize that why did we decide to build out this idea? The committee actually had a series of six planning meetings, at which point we looked across about 15 parameters that went from demographics to potties and parking, about what other competitive or comparable beach towns were offering. These were cities in New Jersey, Delaware, and Maryland. We, in addition, conducted a SWOT analysis, which is a strengths, weaknesses, and opportunities and threat analysis, to identify what would be unique and competitive about the town of Dewey. And clearly, it came out that wellness, fitness, and those kind of areas were something that was unique to our town. We thought that this trend was very current, and we have sent information to the commissioners regarding the National Institutes of Health and the Centers for Disease Control who have endorsed this therapy and the benefits of this therapy. It is, in fact, very mainstream in wellness and health, and is, in fact, reimbursed by many of the insurance companies. We also sent them information about the wellness trend and the fact that even in Delaware today, the opportunity for these kind of services to come outside of what was previously considered high-end spa and resort offerings to a more local and grassroots level is certainly a big trend. We have found, in fact, that in comparable towns, that at least six towns in New Jersey currently offer this service, including Cape May, and we would not be the first in Delaware. It's currently already offered in Bethany Beach. We, in addition, vetted this idea with many of the people who would be impacted by this. We vetted this with the mayor, with the town manager. We talked with Todd, our captain of the Beach Patrol. We talked to one of the major vendors, Mr. Lineup, on our Dewey Beach property, as well as the Dewey Beach Rehoboth Chamber of Commerce and many members of the Dewey Beach business partners, as well as many of the town citizens. So I stand here today to say that the Dewey Beach Marketing Committee would like to offer therapeutic massage on the beach with warm ocean breezes and the soothing sound of the surf. We want to offer this service to Kaya Yoga, and we recognize that this business partner just 2 months ago was recognized by the town for her phenomenal service, for being a great and strong business partner for the town, and for and graciously made a donation to our life-saving station. So with that as background, with framework for your decision, let me introduce Heather Schaefer, who could talk more about the operating logistics and address any other business concerns you may have. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you, Carla. The form of proposal, since we know this is the direction that the marketing committee is hoping to create that health and that wellness, we've already been here offering beach yoga. This will be our fifth year because we were doing it even before we were doing it on the Bayside. So we are loving doing that. It's going really well. We're doing it 7 days a week now. We're going to continue that. I mentioned last meeting that we had that it would maybe be cut back, but we are going to be able to continue doing it 7 days a week. For the speech massage being added on as a wellness offering, it would be set up as a portable tent. So it's not going to be a permanent structure, and this is really just a trial run to see how it's working on our end and on your end. So it would run from Thursday through Monday from limited hours. It would be, the tent would be set up by 10 a.m. each morning and would run until 3 p.m. Or there is a potential that it would run longer if there were signs for massage, but would be before sunset, everything taken down and stored away for the evening. So the advantage of keeping it at the location that we had already have for the beach yoga is the fact that we have staff that will be there with the beach yoga that can help to set those tents up, can help to get everything into place each morning with the service. So services that will be offered is going to be basic. It's going to be 1 hour for Swedish deep tissue. Reflexology, I believe, will be popular because in that they can just sit back in a chair and have their feet done, a very therapeutic massage that can be done on the feet. So, and also the price point is very affordable for this type of service. Typically, $80 to $100 is what a one-hour massage is going for in a resort area. We are going to offer for only $65 a one-hour service. So it's something we do to get people familiar with it, and a really nice price point as well to promote that health and wellness. We run the beach yoga currently Memorial Day through Labor Day, and that is when we were hoping to make this happen. Right now it's a little bit tight to make that happen, so I think June, not that that gives us very many more days, but June through Labor Day would be the time frame for this.
What were the hours in the street?
10 to 3, and that's Thursday through Monday.
And Sweet Street.
And that's at Sweet Street. I know there was concern about if it was in front of residency. The way that this year the entrance is going with the beach fencing, there is a strong curve to the fence, which means it could actually be right in front of Sweet Street without being right at the exit of where the entrance comes in. So show you what I mean, and that's going to pass this along. There is the fence when you walk down to the beach makes a sharp right hand turn, so it actually would still be directly from street. It wouldn't actually be in front of anyone's residency with this proposal.
One thing about the yoga, when's that start?
It starts Memorial Day Monday, the 26th.
Okay, I'll be there.
Okay, yeah. So basically your tent won't be in front of anyone's home.
Correct.
And then the other question I have is, the licensing fee is $50, and it sounded like in the proposal it comes with a parking permit. What are the requirements for the individual person who's going to be the masseur to get the license? What are the requirements?
I actually had taken that out because when that was the original version of the proposal that you saw, I took that out because they've said, you know, having a parking permit with that is not really going to be a possibility most likely in the city.
I didn't know.
So that's been eliminated. It is, you know, yes, that would be wonderful for the therapist to be able to have
right.
parking that they don't have to, you know, worry about going to pass separately. But the state licensing requires that they carry their own liability insurance. It requires the proper certification and training for it. Background check is done before anyone is certified in the state for massage therapy. So all of those are going to be covered in the liability, not only our business liability, but each individual would have their own liability as well.
In other words, someone can't just go and fill out a form and do that.
Oh, no.
Absolutely, yeah. That's the problem.
Can I just make one comment?
Yes.
I get many, many complaints and concerns that come into my office from almost everything, for almost everybody. But one of the things that I just want to point out, I mentioned to Heather the other day, that I have received no complaints about yoga on the beach. It seems I've never received a complaint, and instead I've heard from many people that they believe it's a wonderful.
I have too.
And I've had some complaints about clouds in the sky, where I get complaints about many, many different things.
Weather.
About the weather, yeah. But I just want to say that I've never received a complaint about yoga on the beach. And to the contrary, I don't know, Keith, if you've ever gotten a complaint about yoga on the beach or concern.
So what are the hours of yoga? 8 to 9? Is it 8 to 9?
It's 8 to 9.
8 to 9.
Mm-hmm. And that's that same location.
Are there any...
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Just to follow up on what David was saying, and I wasn't here for the first time that this was presented to the council, so I may have missed this, but are you indicating then there's a net loss to the town?
No.
I mean, if it turns to parking fees?
We'll make money off of it.
No, because she there's no longer, you no longer get a parking permit.
Yeah, okay.
That's what she's
so we don't lose that.
So you don't get a parking permit with your license.
Okay.
So there's definitely no loss to the town.
And I don't remember missing a commissioner meeting when this was first presented. When was this?
It wasn't.
I was speaking of a marketing committee meeting when it was discussed, when I initially presented it was there. So that probably had gotten passed.
So
I think what happened was Carla Carter presented something to the commissioners 2 or 3 months ago.
Yeah, last month. Right.
And in it, she had her initiatives from the marketing committee.
Right.
And one of the initiatives was massage on beach, and this has been what they've been working on.
They've been working on it all year.
So how did it transfer from an announcement last month to a vote this month? So we were doing it last month. Is it a code issue? Well, no, I just asked last month did the code provide for it, but I didn't get an answer at the meeting. Is this a permitted use by code? Where I asked last month. Is that the answer, or is there another answer?
Oh, I don't have that answer or any other answer.
I don't know the process leading up to this. That's why I'm just asking for the process.
Well, the marketing committee's been working on it all winter, and now they're presenting it to us. That's the process.
Well, my problem is, it seems to me it is a change in use. Anything like that, it's not just a non-essential or non-important change in use. I think this should be referred to the Planning and Zoning Committee, because making a comparison to building on the beach, which is minimal, it's an event that just comes and goes quickly, and comparing that to a tent on the beach during high noon hours, during the main part of the day, a commercialization of the beach, it's a big change. It's a big thing for the town of Dewey Beach, other than the line of operations, which are commercial operations that are basically they pay in order to be able to provide people with facilities that are useful in doing the things on the beach, like swimming and all the other, and protecting themselves from the sun. This is a commercialization, and I've been in places where the beaches are commercialized, but they're usually resorts, which are private beaches, mm-hmm. where they provide things like trinket sales, and they provide you things support on the beach like this, but this is different. Even for something like a zoning variance being applied for in the town, we require that you post the notice in the neighborhood nearby so that people know that someone is applying for a zoning variance, so they have an opportunity to go to a hearing before the Board of Adjustment, and if they don't like it, they can make their views known. So I'm saying we haven't gone through the procedures that I think are necessary to make a major decision like this in terms of the impact, and in terms of what it prescribes for the future. So
I guess I'm a little bit confused by your question, because mm-hmm. zoning is regarding building something.
No, it's right. Use. It's a use.
Well, it's not like we're permanently setting aside a piece of property for a use.
You are.
Well, we are. That's exactly what we're doing. We're signing part of the beach for a use.
Yeah.
All right. Do Carla and Marilyn have a comment to that? Please come up.
Well, maybe we can have David. Maybe we can have Pine and Jenny address that.
Okay. If you want him to speak, you can.
All right. Marilyn, just identify yourself.
Okay. I'm Marilyn Fife. I'm a member of the Planning Commission, and I live on Sweet Street, and I am oceanfront. And I looked out this morning, and there was already the white big structure of the Lyman building. So, okay, I was my idea, and I'll take the arrows. And I have taken the arrows, and some of the arrows were very, very, what are you smoking? What are you smoking? But I don't smoke cigarettes. And some of them, I think, are totally out of line, and I hope to have an apology, because one email that was sent to you said that my condo association was overwhelmingly opposed, and I have the email, if you'd like me to read it here, to this event. Since I started it, I and my husband, Marty would never oppose me, would not be in that overwhelmingly, unanimously for our condo association opposing that. In fact, on April 24th, I have my notes in my book, I called all of our condo people and asked them. And David said he had a little bit of qualms, questions and stuff like that, and I noticed that. He didn't want it in front of our place, and it's always not in our backyard. But anyway, I feel that this is extremely in line with what we were asked to do as the marketing committee, to try and get the focus off the things and not so great, and get some good things about doing. And I think that it was your ask to our committee to do things like this. We tried to think a little bit outside the box. For some people, unfortunately, it's too far outside the box. But I did send you the CDC, which is the Center for Disease Control. They, at a employees, they had massages come in to their people and noted how beneficial it is. Also, National Institute of Health, NIH, very esteemed establishment, says that massage therapy is extremely important to people's health. And on our own Delaware Today, the front of it, I think this is the issue. Anyway, it was one of the issues. I'll find it. Massage, which one was?
December 14th.
Okay, December 14th. Massage is much more than an indulgence. It is used for health. And so the question was to justify why we shouldn't go to planning and zoning, and why, was that the question? I forgot what the question was.
Yeah, the question was whether to go to planning and zoning.
Okay, last night I sat down with David and we talked, and you know, would you like to report about what we talked about? And there were things that were very agreeable to Heather. I showed them to her, and David, we talked last night?
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you like to address this, Mr. Chairman of the Planning Commission?
We'll get everybody up here.
Along the lines of what Marilyn was presenting as far as the fact that this is a health, a wellness, a, you know, scientifically proven that massage has its benefit, your concern, understandably, that's not what we want the speech to turn into. We don't want trinkets being sold. We don't want people hounding and selling sunglasses and necklaces. That's not what this is. This is something for the betterment in the direction that the town is trying to improve that image into the direction of health and wellness. And it's not a wide scale, let's approve all commercial activity. This is a specific health and wellness instance that is for the benefit of the direction that, that the town is going. And the marketing committee came up with it as a way, because that's their role, is to help create that for the town.
I'm all in favor of this. I think it's great. I'm all in favor of this. First of all, have you thought about the fact that your clientele are not likely to be Swedes people, not likely to be people on Chicago Street or on Salisbury Street. They're going to, I guess you're going to get them from date people. I don't know who's, where the business is going to come from, which changes now the activities on the beach in the front of those streets. I don't know for the good or bad. Secondly, we don't have the authority as a commission to just make decisions willy-nilly. We have a code, and the code basically says that we have permitted uses. And right now, I can't see that this is a permitted use. We may decide that it's a use that we ought to pass an ordinance and allow it, but I'd like to have the opportunity for the public, the real public, the, you know, the whole town of Dewey Beach, to have an opportunity through the process of the planning and zoning operation and the procedures provided by the zoning code for us to do the vet this properly in order to be fully agreed on.
I think we should get David, he's the chairman of planning and zoning.
He's the chairman, but he's one individual.
Yeah,
I think he can't speak for planning and zoning.
Two things. I think David should talk about it, and I think Fred should, and I think Fred should talk about
that. I want to make a comment, too, along the lines, of, and I agree with what Courtney's saying, that I don't have a particular issue with massage on the beach or anything, but the issue is, it's what, 2 weeks before opening day, and this is when we're hearing this. This is not the first time the committees have dumped stuff on us to make decisions at the last minute. I think we need to have time for the community to vet all the issues and the concerns. Courtney's raised some concerns. I think Anna raised some concerns. It doesn't sound like we have the answers to them all. And at the last, you know, the midnight hour, we're trying to make a decision.
I've got to answer that, Gary. This committee has worked on it for almost an entire year since September.
And why didn't
and,
this,
I mean,
why
are
this,
the
why
commissioners
this
not involved?
Why didn't this discussion...
I don't think they have.
Why was all this particular presentation today like two or three meetings ago?
Well, we had a presentation 1 month ago, and it was in their meetings for 6 months.
Well, Anna has questions that weren't answered.
All I asked is the last meeting is, how did this get on the agenda? Because is there a permitted use? Is there a code that permits this on our beach? And there was no response. So when I saw it on the agenda, I apologize to the public because I didn't do my homework like I usually do. I thought it was something we were trying like for one day. It was a one-day event. I didn't even know what it was because it came on the agenda as an announcement, not a discussive vote. So I apologize for not following up, but that's how I interpret it under announcements.
Well, I have asked all committees now to copy commissioners on all agendas and the minutes of the meeting because the commissioners here have not attended any of the committee meetings.
Well, I
and that's part of the problem.
I think we're supposed to vote on recommendations, but I would, okay, I'm going to put my two cents out here today. What I would love to see the committee like this working on is to take what we have and make it better. Take skimboarding, take the event on Sweet Street. It's a family-friendly event. Take everything we have. We have bonfires, we have movies, we have dog events. Take everything we have. How can we make it better? I'm not sure we need to be looking for brand new events, but I'm always open to suggestions. I'm not saying yes or no. I'm open-minded. I'm just saying we've got so much going for us. I take all we have and make it so much better.
Everybody has a lot of opinions, but I think it's important before we kind of go through all this back and forth to hear about these issues from David and from Fred.
I agree.
I think it's important that we understand if somehow we have not done what we're supposed to do, we understand we have an issue.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear from David, and I'd like to hear from Fred.
I agree. David?
David King, Chair of the Planning Commission. As full disclosure, also a resident on the Sweet Street. First of all, this is not, should not be a discussion about the merits of massage on the beach, just like the discussions related to Dewey Beach Beer shouldn't have been a discussion about whether we should have more alcohol licenses or not. It's about the code and how the code applies, and I am supportive of this kind of activity. I've said that to Marilyn before.
I said it
in my email to the commissioners. I support this kind of activity. I commend the marketing committee for all of the hard work that they do, but we have a process, and looking through the permitted uses, conditional uses, and whatnot in the code, it's my opinion, having discussed this with the rest of the planning commission, that the closest category permitted, closest category of uses to this is a permitted use in RB1 and TRB1, the most commercially intense district in the town. It is a conditional use in RB2, RB3, and TRB3, and is prohibited in the residential, resort residential and neighborhood.
What zoning district is the beach in question?
If the beach is the beach.
It's
not characterized as a zoning district. It's certainly not characterized as a business district. And it abuts the two residential districts. This is, I think, so that's one issue. I do not believe that there is anything in the code that permits, in the zoning code, that would permit the town commissioners to independently approve in an ad hoc fashion this kind of activity. And in part of that is part of my concerns, my personal concerns, about this activity as presented in the proposal that I saw posted online that I saw last week. The code says that the commissioners can approve commercial activity via a contract. Well, the only evidence of a contract is the proposal, and I believe that the location, the hours, the town, the tent design, the parking, response to weather, controlled by bodyguards, control of trash, congestion, whether it's exclusive, are not addressed in the contract, or are addressed in ways which I would have a problem with. If you send this through the, refer this to the Planning Commission, yes, the soonest we could do it would be, would be the beginning of June, so that's after Memorial Day. We could process this and get it to you, get a recommendation to you probably by the next town commissioner meeting. Again, looking at Dewey Beach here, this is, they came to you, they went to the Planning Commission, they came back to you. That's the town's process. There's another issue with the tents, which I'm not aware of the design of the tents. Tents are proposed to be placed directly in my open view. The view from my deck is going to look right at the tents. Are they going to be, what are they going to be? We don't know. Tents, temporary tents for more than 7 days is a Board of Adjustment issue. you're going to be here all...
They shut you down every night, though, so does that matter?
That doesn't matter. You know, I believe that this is board adjustment issue about the tents. What I'm saying is the town needs policy and process.
I have a specific question about something.
Well, let me just say one more thing. I mean, Courtney made the point that, and I agree, I would phrase it differently, that any new commercial use on the beach should be viewed a conditional use and to the Planning Commission for its recommendation prior to any action.
So you mentioned early on that the beach is not a zoning district. And Fred, my understanding is if an area is not zoned, then the town should have full discretion to do what we want to do on that area.
Yeah, the code doesn't apply then on the beach, does it, Fred?
Yeah. If it's not a zoning district, why would any zoning rules apply?
Why? Right.
Well, that's a very odd circumstance. I mean, it's very hard to imagine that no zoning requirements would apply to the beach. But then again,
we don't own the beach.
What zone is the beach? And it is not designated, as I understand it, any of these existing zones. So there is no clear answer that I'm aware of at this point that certain zoning requirements that are expressed relative to the different districts would apply on the beach. It's unclear to me.
But isn't there statements with regards to what we're allowed to do from the state in terms of they give us certain authority on the beach, and I'm forgotten when that appears. And it's very limited, you know, in terms of what we can do. We can't charge anything for people getting access
yes,
to the beach.
I've seen that.
And they give us the responsibility for, it sounds like husbandry, and I don't know how, as far as I'm concerned, husbandry on the beach, to me, means to be extremely careful with regards to how you manage the use of that beach. And if that can't be extrapolated to saying we have some responsibility, similar to the responsibilities that we have with a zoning code in order to ensure that the uses that we allow in different areas of this town are acceptable and are reasonable to the residents of the town, I can't say that we can arbitrarily make decisions as if they're unleashed without any controls as to what we put on the beach.
I'm not hearing anything clear on zoning. I do have a question. It seems like some of the objection is always, you know, in my backyard, and when something comes like a great idea, and then when it comes in front of where you are, mm-hmm. all of a sudden you feel differently, and that's kind of natural in a reaction, right? So my question is, someone had mentioned that perhaps putting the tent in front of a hotel might be an option, and I think there's the Atlantic View Hotel, not too terribly far from Sweden, might be a street or two over. Would you be willing to do it, and has anyone ever checked with them to see if they would object to it being in front of their...
I know they checked with two owners. One is Hal, which I think is on Reed Street, mm-hmm. and the other is Alex, who I believe is further north, or Clayton Street or something like that, has a place there. But in the case of the Hal was supportive of the idea. He was not approached directly about, is this something you want in front of you? But he is supportive of the idea. He was very aware that this was being done currently in resort areas and the Caribbean and other places that he was in.
But my question is, would the proprietor really be amenable to changing the location if that was to make it more palatable to people in general?
I know you said that it was at that location to get people to help you, but the question is, would it be feasible?
Yes, it is. Clayton Street is right there, by Reed Street,
okay.
So that is not a problem as far as having mm-hmm. them help over there. My big concern with that is that there are all of those lots that have just opened right next to it where there's going to be construction, I imagine. I don't know when construction is going to happen, but I imagine that's not very pleasant.
It's been vacant for years, though. I mean, hasn't there been a lot of construction going on in those lots?
Well, it's been posted and divided into lots right now. So there was construction to the back half of it, but the oceanfront portion is up for grabs right now.
Don't we really allow construction?
Yeah, I don't know if that would be.
I thought
well, you can't drive piles.
After five.
You can't drive piles.
No, you can't drive piles after Memorial Day. There should be no construction.
I like
to allow the bill in the summer. Look at the planner, you can't get anything built.
I like the comment.
The question with Reese is the whole problem with the process. Who cares whether the hotel owners was no more claim to that beach than someone who lives down on Chesapeake Street? What is the process of asking the hotel owner? It should absolutely not be an important element in how we make decisions.
Well, I think regardless of the location, actually, I think when you decide to locate and authorize the location of a building in a certain area, whether it's anything or you know any type of activity in an area, I think that the people who are most impacted are the people who are closest to and their viewpoint.
We have the processes in place for them to make their note. In fact, we have them in place for all of us.
I think you, Corey, let me just try, maybe I need to make some sense for David, is that I don't think any of us here particularly have a problem with that. It sounds like it'd be fun. The problem is that once you let the genie out of the bottle, you're going to have to deal with it forever. And the processes that you're talking about, the things that David's talking about are real important. And you talked about the contract. I mean, I've been at campsites with 300 Boy Scout leaders, and they still can't put a tent up that doesn't come flying when the wind picks up. So that, to me, is a safety issue that should be addressed. What kind of tent, what kind of, how it's secured. All these details, I mean, if Boy Scouts leaders don't know how to put a tent up, no offense, I don't know whether you're a Girl Scout, but in any case, I think those kind of issues, those safety issues, need to be addressed. This is not something you just do at the flat of your pants. It's not an opinion about whether we like something or not, David, is that this town gets burnt every time they go down and go half-cocked and go off, fly off and do something.
I thought the proposal was a one-year authorization for this.
It doesn't really matter, David. It's once you let the genie out of the bottle, you've got to have to deal with it. And that part I haven't heard addressed. What happens to the next person? Maybe somebody's going to want to put a tent up and do dog grooming. Maybe that might be a good thing. Manicures. You know, where does it stop? Where does it start?
I do have in the proposal for what the tent specification would be. It's an attractive tent. It has mesh siding, because I know early on a concern was what's going to happen in the tent. You know, this is a professional service. And so we did intentionally choose for that. It will have weights on each of the corners because obviously, I've seen those umbrellas flying across the
what kind of weights?
They are sand weighted for each of the legs. And this is
Well, what would the weight look like? What is it?
It is a black bag, and that's what it's designed for. It's not something I'm making up off the cuff.
It is how much it weighs?
Designed. It is 7 pounds on each leg.
That's not going to be enough. I mean, we just put a tent up, and we had 55-gallon drums full of wood. And with the amount of wind you have, and that's basically a large sail. If you're only talking 7 pounds, it's going to go flying. We had a cement concrete block that was lifted up and hit a kid in the head at this Boy Scout campout. That's why I'm concerned.
It is 28.
Exactly the same as what we have.
Be holding it down. It is that, and you know, obviously all precautions are taken. And I've seen this is all from that station
out in the sand. It is up against the dunes.
That helps
so
too.
It is not.
Yeah. My house is right on the behind the dunes, and I know what the wind comes through there. And I think what the bottom line is that what David King is saying is, let's go through the process so that we're consistent on how we treat applications for different things.
Fred,
what's going
on now? Right, I know. Fred, I understand we have people in the audience who want to say something.
Okay, I'm sorry I wasn't more ready to with an answer, and I've indicated that I thought it's not clear. It's hard to apply the zoning code to an area that's not designated as zoned,
right.
So that leads to a lot of indecision. But we do have a chapter labeled beaches with an Article 2 labeled concessions regarding vendors on the beach at 65-12, which reads that no person shall sell, hire, or rent or offer to sell, hire, or rent any article or thing or perform or any, let's see, perform or offer to perform for a price or reward any work or service, and I assume this massage therapy would be considered a service, on any beach or strand within the territorial limits of the town. I think we're within the territorial limits of the town without obtaining a license there or from the commissioners, period. Any violation of this section is a civil offense.
That's all. That implies that we have the authority to give them the license, mm-hmm. and we have the authority to vote on it. I care.
That would be my interpretation, that this is, you know, there's no zoning district to pigeonhole this activity in, and we've got specific references to the beach and to concessions and an authorization of the commissioners to issue a license. Now whether the commissioners are comfortable that they have all the information that they need to consider this, and whether there are any other resources that could be available to them, I mean, that's a comfort issue in, I think, deciding whether you wish to issue the license. So I don't mean to suggest that your hands are tied. I don't think they're tied one bit. I think you can demand all the information you think you need in order to make a defensible decision.
All right. Did anyone up here have to say anything else? Because there's some comments from the public.
Any questions?
All right, that's fine. Well, why don't you just, if you can take a seat in the front here, and then Bill Lowry, you wanted to say something, and then Marcia, and then Dale. Bill Lowry, you first.
Before we hear from the public, I just want to say, when I was talking about the direction, I meant overall with the committee. I think the job of all of us is to remain impartial and to be open to public opinion and receptive to new ideas. So I don't want to put down the marketing committee for that. I'm a pro massage person. I get them on a regular basis, so that's the full disclosure. Last one I had on the beach was in Mexico at Progreso, so it was a private resort, but that's my experience. That's all I have personally to offer.
Right. David, and then
other than that,
Marcia.
So David, same again. I there's the authority to approve, and there's the process. All conditional uses are approved by the town commissioners, but there is a process. And the process involves public hearings and an examination of all of the important factors, including location and hours of operation and parking and congestion, because when you pass an ordinance to approve, you're going to say that you've addressed all of these issues to guarantee public health, safety, and welfare. And my only other point is when you look at the contract for Lyman, I believe that the contracts and the renewals are all approved with a contract in front of you.
Yeah. So your recommendation is this goes to planning?
My recommendation is that this be treated like all other conditional uses, go to the Planning Commission for its recommendation, mm-hmm. and that when the applicant comes before the Planning Commission, that they have all of the requirements for a conditional use application submitted in time.
Okay. Bill Lowers and Marcia and Dale.
Very quick question, just for the record. Do we know or does anyone know what Bethany Beach did as a precedent? Because that is a very, very scrupulous, methodical, deliberate governing body, and I would think consistent with the solicitor's comments that if we can follow Bethany's lead, that might simplify the process.
Mm-hmm.
Thing.
Marilyn or Carter or Carla?
I don't know the service was offered there. I don't know what their process was for the commissioners.
Okay, very good. Marshall's name, and then Dale.
I'm Marcia Schick, and I am a property owner on Fleet Street, where this is being offered. And I do appreciate Mr. Jasinski's suggestion that input sought from those property owners, that no input was sought from myself or many of our other property owners. The question whether the massage has got the same scrutiny as other things, far less. The beach concession for Lynham got far much more scrutiny than this. There were multiple public hearings. The other thing I wanted to mention was the section that the commissioners were provided in their packet, 65 Article 2 concession, contains 15 code citations related to commissioner approval of public beach concessions that must be met in order for commissioners to issue a business license for a beach concession. The packet you got only contained two of those 15 concessions. And when you asked if you were doing everything right, I would say you're not, because you're not following the other 13 concessions that are required under the code to consider an application for a business license on the beach. And I'm not sure why they were admitted, but what I think is if you don't have these, you're going to make a misinformed decision as to whether this is allowable and the procedures that are required by our law for you to approve a, so I'm a little dismayed why you got only 2 of 15 sections in your packet for consideration. The failure to include the text of all these on something you're deliberating could influence you to make a decision that's not consistent with the requirements of the law and leave the town subject to liability. If the commissioners approve of each concession without following the requirements of the code, all 15 code citations, 13 of which were omitted from the public posting, it could set a precedent for other beach vendors expecting the same equal treatment in approval of their license for beach concessions. This may include any type of concession, and also, because you're required to send this out and post for a bid, it could include any number of massage therapy operations that would like to bid on this service. But more importantly, what I am worried about is that you follow the process precisely, that there are public hearings, particularly that all of the neighbors and property owners on Sweet Street are notified that there's going to be a change of use in the beach. I think all of us love massages and we all patronize them, but I think when you're going to change a use of a particular beach, and this one has my interest because I have a house that rents to families on this beach, that you really need to do the right thing and be fair and reach out to those property owners so you get their input, particularly from that particular beach. And I think if you do that and you find a consensus that they want it, that we all will go along with the consensus. But I don't think that you're meeting the very specific requirements of the code, and I believe that one of the reasons that the code authorizes you to give any type of business license but calls out that only the commissioners are permitted to grant a business license on the beach is because that's a public beach. And a concession agreement under contractual terminology means a negotiated contract between a government and a company and gives the company the right to operate a specific business within the government's jurisdiction. Not a business license to operate a privately owned business on privately owned property. And I think there's too much at stake for this to be approved without appropriate hearings and appropriate public input and appropriate attention to what the code requires you to do.
Could you just, I'm pretty sure I know what the answer is, but since you own a property there, could you state whether you're in favor or opposed to it besides the requirement?
I'm pretty neutral right now. I just don't know enough about it. This was the first time I heard of it. But what I do know is I, along with my neighbors, I think...
You came pretty prepared for today.
Well, I'm very concerned about process in this town, and I'm very concerned when there is a 15-code citation on how this gets approved, that 13 of those were omitted from commissioner packets that we're going to deliberate on this decision.
That people should be concerned about that. I did come prepared.
Okay, Dale was next, and then
Dustin. I'm Dale Cook from Chesapeake Street. I wish they would attempt to bring it up to Chesapeake Street, because I'd love to be able to walk up the beach and have my sons and their wives and grandchildren go up and have one and enjoy it and see the operation at work. I'm for the proposal. I do understand that there's been a lot of negativity put forth about massages, and rightfully so in the past for things that have happened in various places, including down the road in the outlying area of Rehoboth, not in Rehoboth itself, but on the highway in the county, where you saw in the paper they had problems. But this is intended and was intended by the marketing committee as something to bring families and high-end activities to Dewey Beach. I disagree a little bit with, well, a lot with Courtney about a lot of things. I understand why that he feels it's a
totally different use and needs a zoning hearing on the beach. I disagree with that. I think it's just like any contract you would let out for the beach concessionaire. The more I think about it, the more I disagree with Anna about we're not looking for anything new, or it gave that impression that she was not looking for anything new. We want you to expand on things we already have. We're always looking for everything new. The skimboarding was very controversial at times in Dewey Beach. I can remember neighbors saying, we don't want those young people up there with all those boards. You know, it felt like I was dealing with a 100-year-old man that wouldn't have anything to do with the youth. And now that's a mainstay of Dewey Beach.
Yeah.
You know, it was something new at one time. And I ask you to look forward to accepting something new in Dewey Beach, on the beach, for Dewey Beach, that would bring a high-end operation to the beach. I agree that it should be done like any beach concession. I agree that, there were not these same questions in the nitty-gritty attempt to find a problem with the contract or a problem with the tent. When it came to the beach concessionaire, we didn't say what's holding down your buildings on the beach. We left that to the town manager to pull a contract together properly. I do agree that you should be able to have a contract that you look at. And I think all things are valid, but to attack one particular operation any different than you would from the present beach concessionaire is probably wrong, I think. And I agree with what Marcia said, that it should be handled like any contract is handled on the beach. And if there's differences that I didn't know, then we should cover those differences. I think this is a good proposition. I think we should move forward and to attempt to allow it.
Bill, are you on the marketing committee?
Hmm?
Are you part of the marketing committee?
Yes.
Okay,
thank you, Bill. Anybody else who has any comments? Yeah, oh yeah, I'm sorry, Betsy. Let me just come on.
Betsy Davis, Sweet Street. I think this is not so much in my backyard issue, although there's a little bit of that. I've always loved Dewey because it's a very simple beach, nothing going on except some of these sports activities some of the time, and after dinner I watch children and families playing ball, things like that on the beach. I don't want boardwalk beach because I don't like that kind of activity. I don't want too much activity. But I think basically we're looking at a town with growing pains, that there are things that have been coming up that we're just not accustomed to dealing with because we are a small town and things are changing so much, but we have to have plans. We have to do it in the right way so that we don't have a problem down the road. We know that's not good. We don't want that to happen. I know that just having a sign at Sweet Street, because I live there, to advertise yoga on the beach was controversial because it was a money-making operation and it didn't have a business license. Then there's the conflict, well, it's teeny-weeny business. It is. What do you do in that case? They don't make a lot of money. They didn't even know if they would make anything in the beginning. But these are new things to us. I think we're having growing pains. You're seeing how much disagreement there is and how much confusion there is. And I think just the rules have to be looked at and carefully decided upon so that there's not a problem in the future. And that protects the massage people as well as the challenge.
You can take whether you were personally in favor or against it. You live there, so.
I'm sure I stand here.
Since you live there, I mean, I'm very interested in the people who live there, what they think, so I want to understand.
Are you for or against, he said.
Or if you're for or against it being located here. Aside from the licensing and the stuff like that, are you for or against the concept of it being at that location?
I'm not entirely happy because, as I say, I like walking over that walkway and it's a very plain beach.
Mm-hmm.
It's just aesthetically what appeals to me and one of the things that I'm stuck to. In favor of massage. I come as well as many of you do for massage. It's beneficial to me.
Okay.
I don't know what else to say. Maybe, you know, there was thought about putting it in front of a hotel and the negatives, the, mm-hmm. the pros and cons of doing that.
All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Georgia and then Debra.
Georgia, we on
and you come up here to
Georgia Leon Hart, I just have a question. Is this document dated March 11, 2014, the three-page document? Is that the proposal that the commissioners are looking at?
Mm-hmm.
It is what we're looking at. It's definitely been updated because this says they get a parking permit.
Yeah, Carla, just so you know, we have the wrong version of proposal. I got it. So,
I'll ask later for a copy of the.
Yeah, if you could see Carla, she can get you.
Thank you,
Joe. Okay.
David? It's a tiny amendment that we certainly have a license to do beach yoga.
Was this it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was just gave you one.
Okay, David, go ahead.
David King, and now I'm speaking less as chair of the Planning Commission, more as a former chair of the Budget and Finance Commission. there are a number of things in the proposal that I think are wrong. I realize that hopefully any contract that just goes forward will be negotiated and there will be a contract and it will be reviewed. But I want to make some general statements. Reduced fees,
mm-hmm.
why would you give any business organization reduced fees over and above what any other organization gets? Same thing with parking passes. I realize that...
That's not part of it, is it?
That's been taken out. But what was posted as a proposal, why would you ever mm-hmm. consider that?
Right.
Discounts to the lifeguards? Is an ethics issue. The lifeguards are the body that is going to regulate this activity on the beach,
mm-hmm.
and for them to be getting discounts puts them in a position of a conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm.
It puts them in an ethics position because they get something of monetary value as a basis of the function of a town employee.
How would their judgment become? I get what you're saying, but like in terms of regulating it, what would a lifeguard ever do that would be a conflict of interest related to the people doing
the beach? He may not ask them to leave the beach if there's congestion, if there's problems, if it's causing a public nuisance, if the weather is turning bad and they're going to vacate the beach. And
judgment decision.
It's a judgment decision. It's just like the reason that the town stopped letting the police officers private contract to work for the bars in town. I mean, it's a town policy. And the final thing is, I don't believe that any consideration has been made in terms of conflict with Lyman's concessions. I believe that, as I understand, the location of the tents is going to be where Lyman puts one of their concessions.
I don't believe so.
Just to the north end of the Sweet Street overpass.
They're already there. They are on the south of that Sweet Street entrance. It's where Lyman is set up.
Yeah.
I have always been set up since I've been doing beach yoga there. As far as trying to go back through your list of what your concerns were.
Discounts for the lifeguards.
Yeah, you know, and just listening to the presentation earlier this morning about what those lifeguards, what their responsibilities are and what they're making, you know, it really was our intent not to do any sort of bribery. It's something that it is in terms of, and we're fine with cutting that. If you don't want them to receive discounts on the massage, that's not an issue. If you see it as bribery, I can understand how it could be turned that way, and that's certainly not what our intent was. It really was to encourage what activities they're already doing and show support of the lifeguards because they do, and that, you know, the search and rescue, they do such an important job for this town, and so that was the encouragement, was a part of it. And, you know, if that is seen as a conflict of interest, then sure, we can cut that bit of it.
Yeah, and the issue with the license and
the license,
that's been resolved. We don't need to discuss it. It's done.
It was only in there because that's what Rehoboth does. Right. And it's, you know, and it's a wonderful thing for massage therapists, but if it's not, you know, working here, it was already eliminated anyway because because that was a potential issue.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much. I think we need to draw this to a close.
One,
it sounds like, yeah, go ahead.
One thing. I think I need Fred to weigh in on Marcia's concerns about the concession, 13, the legality of, like, what Marcia.
Oh, all right.
I think it's only
all right. Well, I haven't seen what she sent, but I'm assuming she's referring to the sections that appear in 65.11 and subsequent sections that say at 65-14 that the town manager shall for at least 2 weeks open bids in any year in which bids are sought. And there are numerous references to the beach concession as opposed to the reference to the vendors.
Mm-hmm.
I think the beach concession is a reference to something specific.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a reference to the services that are provided by the reference contract with, in this case, Lynham. I believe that's what is meant by the beach concession, as opposed to saying vendors in general. And I'm thinking that I'm assuming the criteria that are referenced that we're allegedly not in compliance with are criteria that flow from circumstances where bids are sought. And this is not a circumstance in which a bid has been sought. I think those criteria are meant to apply to the awarding of the beach concession. And not to vendors in general, which the commissioners are able to contract with.
So if a business came in and wanted to do, say, body painting or something on the beach, that would just be a proposal. We wouldn't decide if we're going to approve a specific service and put it out to bid for
wouldn't say, I don't think, that the town has decided we want body painting services to be provided. And the best way to do it would be to open it up to bidders.
As a concession.
But
doesn't it appear that the fundamental thing here is competing interest for the beach? Because we've got our concession contract, we've got skimboarding, we've got sports going on, volleyball, we've got skimboarding, and I almost see this as being, well, what does the public really want for our beach? It's not what five people want.
Well,
what does the public want for the competing interests? I may be partial to skimboarding and sports. Dale and Betsy, I got this idea from Dale and Betsy. Dale may be interested in massages for his family. So it's a competing interest if we draw a day crowd for massages, which would be a good thing for businesses, but then the 100-foot rule comes in for the skimboarders. I don't want skimboarding to become a dying art because it's the culture and history of Dewey Beach.
Right. But
so it's competing interest.
Those are all considerations which you can bring to bear in deciding whether to grant.
It's tough.
I think you could say there's no room, it's too crowded, there are too many activities, which were here first. I mean, those are all things which you can rely on to vote.
I would say one thing about Anna's comment, that I definitely agree in a lot of cases there are competing uses for the beach. And one of the things I thought about as with the massages is, for the most part, I think for some people who live right around where the tent's going to be, that interferes with their viewscape during the hours that the tent's erected, so I get that. But other than that impact, I think that it really doesn't impact people's quiet enjoyment of the beach. It's just one tent, they're just sitting there quietly and whatnot. So I do think that it's fairly non-impactful. The only impact is for people who do have, you know, properties that are looking at it. They do have to look at it during the hours the tents are up.
Can I suggest one thing?
Yeah.
When we approved movies on the beach or bonfires on the beach, was that something, I don't recall, that the commissioner
We never went through the screening, never.
It's a one-time event. I mean, we're talking about allocating a very scarce resource. And to me, you know, we can't even award a contract for more than $2,500 without going out for bid. And yet we're talking about making a grant to someone to do business on the beach. If we're going to say, as Fred says, we don't have authority because it's not covered under the zoning code, then it should be covered under what I would call the appropriation of funds or the acquisition of services within the town. And when you get acquisition of services, it seems to me you are bound by going for a competitive process. You got to have some kind of process whereby you make these decisions other than that someone likes it and someone doesn't like it. And right now, what we're doing is we're grappling with the allocation of a very scarce resource to a particular commercial use simply because someone made an application. We haven't made a decision that this is a use that the public really wants and the town wants to contract to provide it, and because we haven't had input from the town. David's in favor. I don't know that I'm in favor. I wouldn't want to put on my beach. But whether someone else wants it somewhere else, I'm willing to listen to it.
I think we need to draw this to a close. I'm sorry, Courtney, it's just been going on much longer than it should have, but I think we want to just send it to the Planning Commission.
Can
we send it to the Planning Commission and get it done for now? Because this conversation would go on for another 2 hours and we wouldn't resolve anything.
Well, do we have the authority to send it?
Is it a conditional use?
I don't know what the Planning Commission would do with it because the Planning Commission doesn't have a zoning district to apply the rules to.
And given this not listed use, I would say, and it's not listed as a conditional use. It's not one of the approved conditional uses. So we would have to actually pass an ordinance to identify this as an approved conditional use. In order to treat it as a condition.
Well,
what do you recommend we do, Fred? We need to draw this to a close.
Well, first of all, it sounds like there's the commission is at least divided, if not skeptical, of whether this contract should be let today. I think you could refer to planning and zoning for their consideration, and you might get an opinion back that this is not a zoning issue for us. And you're back where you started. Or they could come back and say that you should consider this a zoning issue and you should liken it to the zoning district that applies in the neighboring zone, which is RB. I mean, I just don't know what planning and zoning
would
say.
Well, the other thing they would have hearings.
But they'd have public hearings, and then that would raise the level of awareness among the public.
And then we can base our reaction based on that. If they have hearings and everybody's against it, then it's, doesn't happen. They just come back and say, think it's a good idea. If they do think it's something we can overcome and then we need an ordinance or we need to change something, then we can do that.
Did you count how many emails we got about this? I got a few emails.
Oh, yeah, we did.
We got a few emails from the public.
Not many, not a lot.
And
what were they? They were mixed.
They were mixed, but the ones I received weren't anything against the size.
They were
just
questions
because they hear walking over the dune and that was, seeing the tent and so. But they weren't anti-massage.
Right. So, all right. What does the commissioners want to do? Then we need to move on.
Well, I make a motion we move to refer the application for a license from the massage operation to the Planning and Zoning Commission to basically give us advice as to the action on that particular application and give us advice as how they think they're out to handle the allocation of the beach for any kind of commercial purpose in the future.
Do I have a second to the motion?
We have a second first. I would like to discuss. I'll second that.
All right. Marilyn?
Very quickly, I ask that David can exclude himself from being chairman of the committee because of his terrible, degrading comment in an email.
I would ask that we avoid any personal references and that any issues involving who has a conflict or who doesn't should be dealt with at the appropriate time, and that's not here.
Yeah.
That would be before the Planning Commission.
All right, we have a first and a second to the motion. All in favor?
Do we have a discussion?
I thought we had an hour already, but okay. One question again. One question.
Can you add anything to your motion that would have the effect of when the report comes back to us, we have a document that we, a final version of an ordinance that we can vote on? Because I don't think we have that today, do we? What do we need?
Well, that would be in the recommendation.
That would be recommended by the Planning Commission. They would decide that with Fred.
Whatever it is, I think what we need is a piece of paper that we know exactly what we're voting on, because we've been down this path before where what's voted on doesn't necessarily get what's recorded.
All right, so we would need something specific in writing then, some written recommendation.
And would
you like to amend your motion that this would be a written recommendation
from the commission with regards to handle future allocation of beach areas for commercial purposes?
Mm-hmm. And let me just clarify with Fred. Is that something that the planning commission is responsible for, or should the town manager prepare that document, or you?
You're asking for, you want a writing from the planning
If we're going to vote on something, I want to have the words.
Add a zoning district for the beach.
I want the motion repeated when we get it down.
Okay. I would make that recommendation open-ended, and they may recommend we establish a zoning district for the beach. Well, they could recommend other things. But shall I repeat what I'm trying to restate a motion?
What
I would like to do, because I understand where you're coming from, I understand where you're coming from, these 15 things, you know, I didn't have those in front of me. Give me a copy of those. Give me a copy of the fact that it says, you know, what you had just read. If I can work with you to get those, then that is something that I can present properly to you. Mm-hmm. So, because from according to what in the code, what it says, that it is your duty, it is your ability to make this decision, but you don't have the proper information in front of you to make a decision. I'd like to be able to present to you next meeting that and have you all of the material ahead of time and have it done properly so that it is what you need to make a proper decision.
And David, if we refer this and we vote to do so, it'd be good if we could get it back by the June meeting. Now, the June meeting, fortunately, I guess, is a week later than normal. We did change that to, I don't know.
I have
it. It was the third week, I think, instead of the second week.
We made it the 20th. June 20th.
So that will give us a little more time, and if we get that by June 20th, and then things go well, we can at least maybe have a month or two trial this year. Okay. Very good. May I have a vote then, or repeat the motion first?
If I could, I think the motion is to refer the matter to planning and zoning for a recommendation.
A written recommendation.
And then I think Gary's remarks are to, Mr. Mueller's remarks are to the effect that when this hits the books, you'd like to see something beyond, you'd like to see some supporting documentation rather than just an agenda item.
Correct, because
so,
in the history
and that's an administrative,
of this.
That's an administrative function.
Yeah.
So it's mainly just to refer to planning and zoning and for the written recommendation and to do a public hearing.
Right, because planning and zoning could very well come back and say, we either think this is a zoning issue or it's not.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll have the benefit of their thoughts.
And if they have public hearings, we'll have more public hearings on it.
Would their review include a public hearing?
Yes,
it would include.
I'm saying.
Okay, I couldn't hear you.
Yeah. All right, now, with that in mind, may I take the vote? Everybody okay?
I withdrew the motion.
You got to redo it.
So I move that we refer the issue of massages on the beach to the Planning and Zoning Commission to receive their recommendation on that specific request, but also that the Planning Commission provide us with their recommendation on how we handle applications in the future for allocating the business points.
Okay.
Applications what?
For commercial activities on the beach. Future applications for commercial activities.
You got that down, Davis.
I'm hoping it did. If you could just help me move this around.
Yeah, we try to remember. Okay,
I
need to help.
It's okay.
I'll forget.
Yeah. All right. So anyway,
is that reasonable?
The motion is to get a recommendation to refer this to planning and zoning for a recommendation on massages on the beach, but also on future uses in the process
for approval.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Do I have a second to the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Sorry for the delay, but it is what it is.
Note that I'm abstaining from the vote.
You're abstaining? Okay. All right. So that passes 4-0 then. All right. The next, I need your help now. We are way behind. So I need everyone's help in keeping their comments concise and to the point and getting to as soon as possible. Upgrades on barricades and confirmation, and David, if you would just take a minute on it.
I'll try to make this, David, I'm going to take the lead on this.
Sure, I don't even know what this is.
I'll try to make it very quick and clean. Last year, the Public Safety Committee installed barricades, alarm wire. Last year, the commissioners voted, I believe unanimously, that we would allocate, the town would allocate $5,000, is matched by the business partnership, $5,000 contribution to put barricades up. At the last minute, we saw that the barricades were being recommended were not approved by the state. I didn't authorize the expenditure unless they were authorized by the state. It went back and forth for 2 months. The summer was over, so we didn't get them last summer. This summer, as I'm again revisiting the issue, I asked the business partnership if they still had $5,000 of their will to commit. They said they did. I asked the Public Safety Committee for their recommendation of which barricades were state approved. They gave it to me. The chairman of the committee was not in favor of these. I talked to the police chief, Sam Mackert. Sam Mackert says he doesn't recommend using these. So at this point, we're not moving forward with barricades.
Yes.
So it is nice to see that yet again I have pleased Commissioner Ledet. It seems like we're on like a hammer rolling up the hill. So I just wanted to report that we are not moving forward with barricades. And Chief, do you have anything to add to this?
You're 100% correct on your barricades.
Lightning will be.
I think we need to take a minute because multiple people have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, one in a row.
I'll get myself a glass of water.
All right. Anything else that we need to do?
So we're just going to take a minute because it's really
we need to adjourn.
No. I'm just going to get us water. Like I said, we're just going to pause for a minute until the two of them get back.
So, David, since you were giving the gavel, I guess I moved too quickly on this. Is that
I don't know.
A breath.
Yeah.
This could be said about many things. I find the commissioner of state tonight.
So what happens to air conditioning?
I don't know, it's warm.
You need to put a quarter in. We've got a meter. It's a budgetary. We're trying to hit our budget, so we put a quarter in, air conditioner goes on for 5 minutes.
Well, pay us to have.
They need change?
Yeah.
Sandy, did you a lot in my way. I hear that there's a lot of hot air in the room. Is that what you find? So we need to cool it down.
So many people were standing
good
up.
Good job, David.
Not good job. I get it. All right. But so many people were standing up.
Yeah, all right. We just needed a little break. We're running a little long. All right, so where are we at? After we got through number five? We got through number four. All right. Okay. If I can get everybody's attention back again to the meeting. We are on item number five, which is review, confirm, and possibly refer to the town zoning code definition to plant the planning and zoning. And I understand that, you know, when you write a zoning code, it's very hard to think of all options, and there are a few things, I guess, that are not clearly defined that could potentially cause problems. The issue then is whether we want to send this to our planning commission to review those. I would also recommend that in the future we consider creating a working group or something to look at our zoning code. And I would want some members of planning on that, but not all the planning commission because they're too familiar with it. I think you need maybe some people that have never looked at it before, like maybe the Tim Arnold that you were talking about might be a good person to head this up.
But just as a thought that we can put on the agenda for next month if you all think that's worthwhile. That's just kind of
so what would they be doing?
I think, well, this particular
not,
one.
Not this initiative,
yeah,
but the
right.
thing for next month.
The thing for next month would be to just look at the whole zoning code for any type of potential loopholes or potential areas that need to be tweaked.
Okay, yeah, that's a good idea.
So,
that's a good idea.
All right, and you can prevent people from taking advantage.
Yes. So, A, what prompted this consideration, I don't know where this document came from, but I recall specifically back in 2008, 2009, Mr. King and the Planning Commission spent many, many meetings just on the definition section of the new zoning code.
I understand that there's a definition that needs to be required for a 2.5-story building. I mean, there's just stuff like that in there that I think needs to be looked at. David?
Thank you. David Kim, Chair of the Zoning Commission. Back in 2009, the Zoning Commission spent a lot of time reviewing the zoning code, and we made three recommendations to the town commissioners at that point in time. The first was an amendment, a significant amendment, substantial amendments to Chapter 185 zoning of the town code. The second was approval recommendation for approval of the zoning map, the new zoning map, incorporating the comprehensive development plan. And the third issue, the third item was amendments to Chapter 116, which is definitions. There were several, one of which was a definition for a half story. There were other definitions that were amended as well, and that was never addressed in error or omission by the commission.
And so that was one of the outstanding items we kept delaying. Is that what
that is one of the outstanding items that we kept delaying.
So you've already reviewed this, is what you're saying.
We have a, there is a document that is a recommendation from the Planning Commission that updates what is currently in the code, Chapter 1, that was never
so David,
reviewed or approved by the Planning Commission.
What we have in our packet is the current definition, not the proposed addition.
Correct.
Is that correct?
That is
so you
correct.
Have that. Can you bring that? At this point, are you saying you don't see the need for this, that what you've done is already there, we just haven't approved it?
The Planning Commission would be pleased to look at this
time.
Document, at the document approved, and make recommendations. That gives us a chance to take one more look at.
So if we could do that, if you could, when you have your meeting, massages, maybe you could just take a look at that and see if there are any other changes and give us a final recommendation we can approve in June.
Yeah, if you could do it in June, that would be great, because we have a poll that we have to deal with.
Yeah. All right, very good. So
we will do that.
May I just have a motion in, or Mark, did you want to say something?
No. I just wanted to thank David for pointing out that there was a definition that came up on a recent inquiry, and we found a hole.
And apparently they may have addressed it, but we just haven't approved it. So, yeah. All right, very good. Sorry, that slipped through the cracks. So we may have a motion to refer the definitions to the Planning Commission.
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, that's a 5-0 vote on that one. Number
roll.
Six.
Oh.
We're on a roll. Yeah. Don't interrupt. I'm talking. Number six, discuss and possibly vote on amendments to Code Section 117C for town inspectors of business, and this was put on the agenda by Anna Horton. So if one of you was, what the issue is.
Anything like this, which is an amendment to the zoning code, should be referred to planning and zoning, unfortunately, before it ever gets adopted. But in examining what we have presently, this is, 117, so that's not part of the zoning code. This would not go to planning. In reviewing Code 117, which is the regulation of businesses within the town, there's a section that deals with inspection of premises presently. It's 117.4c, and that presently reads that says, upon the presentation of proper credentials and or upon written notice, that means if you come before a business and you have your proper credentials as, say, the town building official, you can show those credentials and demand the authority to go in and inspect the premises. and provide that written notice or credentials to the title owner of the premises of a time and date for inspection to determine the compliance of construction or the existing premises of the or the existing premises with the provisions of the Dewey Beach licensing regulation, zoning provisions, building requirements of the Dewey Beach Code or Sussex County Housing Code, the building official or a duly authorized representative may enter at a reasonable time, at reasonable times, any building, structure, or premises within the town limits to perform any duty imposed upon the building official by this code. To me, that read as overextending, overreaching in terms of the necessity of carrying out town business. Because the structural integrity of buildings is the authority of the county code. Our building official doesn't do that, and I don't think he has the expertise to be able to do that, the structural integrity of buildings. With regards to the fire safety of buildings, that's the responsibility of the fire marshal, a county, I guess, state office within Delaware. And the question would be whether we want our building official to enforce the fire code by going into homes and checking for example, fire alarms, or for checking for smoke alarms, or checking those sorts of things within Dewey Beach. With respect to plumbing adequacy in homes, that's another inspection responsibility that could be carried out by our town building official. But the question is do we want him to be doing it, and does he have the expertise to do it? Similarly, the integrity of the electrical systems. We can run through the list of things. The question is, what do we want the building official to be asking for inspection rights within properties in Dewey Beach? And I just took a first stab at coming up with something that would allow our building official to carry out his responsibilities, but would not include fire, would not include safety, would not include health. I didn't even add health. There are certain indications a house may be a health problem, and the state presently does come in and inspect places that are overrun by animals or are overrun by trash, with people who end up being hoarders. But we don't do that in the town. I don't think we should be doing it. But these are the things I'm just saying what motivated me in coming up with more limiting language than currently is within Code Section 117.4. The language I came up with upon reading it would apply to residential properties, but I think we'd probably need separate language to deal with business properties if we want the building inspector to be checking, for example, on whether businesses are meeting conditional use requirements that are given to them with their business licenses. So this is a more complicated issue than I think we can handle in this particular meeting. I just want to discuss at the present time what the sentiments of the rest of the commission are with regards to what kind of limits, if any, we want to put upon the inspection authorities of our town building official or town manager for that effect, in terms of dealing with managing the properties that have business licenses within the town.
Before we get into discussion, Margaret, I understand you've checked with the local towns, other towns in the area, what they do. I don't know if you have that information with you, whether you can share with us what your findings were on what other the coastal towns do.
Yes. According to my notes, Mary, who's sitting in the back, was good enough to look into this. Rehoboth Beach does an inspection when a rental license is first issued and then does not inspect after that.
Although I've talked to their commissioners, they say they're looking at yearly inspections as an option.
Bethany does not do an inspection but has an owner sign and notarize a safety certification form which asks information regarding smoke detectors, etc. The form is attached. I have a copy of the form. South Bethany, according to another, South Bethany does not do safety inspections, but thinks they should. So that they get complaints and whatnot.
The issue that I had and what I brought to the table a few months ago, and I'd be interested in our solicitor's opinion, is, as an example, regrettably, we had a house in Dewey Beach burned down the other day. Mm-hmm. I believe it was a rental. They had a rental license for it, but I'm not sure.
They do rent.
And so if they rent, I assume they had a license.
Yes.
And so the question that I would have for our solicitor is, if we issue a rental license, does that carry with it any obligation
or liability?
Or liability? So in a sense, if we issue a license and they do not have the proper smoke detectors, as an example, or if they don't have a fire extinguisher, if they don't have
egress windows,
or whatever it is, and then God forbid there's a fire and there is a fatality, do we have any liability in the fact that we issued a license, a business license, without ever checking on anything? Do we have a liability? And I'm concerned that we would. And so I think that is what I have had in mind here. We're talking philosophically, not specifically. Is if the town does have a liability, and I think that if the town doesn't have a legal liability, it certainly has a moral or ethical liability. I would have no problem with the notion that everybody who rents signs a certificate like what they do in Bethany. That would work. I have no curiosity about what somebody's insides look like. Zero. This is all meant to be, we have a license. What do we do for that license other than just grab people's money? And so I think that the public might want us to just have one a step of credibility in that we have done something. So I found it interesting, Bethany Beach's rental property license application and the notion that they would ask somebody to fill this out, have it notarized, and submit it. That, to me, would be sufficient for the safety issue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there might be other issues why we'd want to do an inspection. It could be the chief might have issues where he would want to, he hears a complaint about underage drinking or whatever it is, and he may want to go and check. The chief might have other issues here. I can't speak to that either. But for us, I think the issue is, how do we reduce liability? And I would be perfectly fine adopting something like that, if that makes sense.
Did you look at Lewis and Shamrock Island?
I did not. We just looked at three.
I saw the form at Bethany. I did a little research on that, but I was mainly looking for after. I printed all the license applications, but the government's right of inspection is covered by the Constitution, and that's for a public safety clause. So I think where the chief comes in, it's just like a fire marshal. They see something, they investigate. The behavior of drinking is probably more disorderly conduct if there's a problem with drinking and behavior issues. But I just think that 14 years ago, this particular ordinance was passed to go into two sections of our code. I think it's in building construction. And if you read the language, the text of the ordinance, it really applies to construction. I think if the commissioners 14 years ago were approving it, they said, why not put this in the licensing if it has to do with you know, these similar issues. Now, you fast forward to today, and the courts, and the society, and the way people sue, the lawsuits that go in and out of courts, I think we're in a different place, a different time in our society, where we don't want somebody just entering into a private property and inspecting unless they really know what they're doing. And I was never more convinced of this until I talked to the fire marshal's office. We talked about warrants and this and that. But you need it, you know, you have to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the community. And as you said, you're worried about some obligations for assurances. I was just, Courtney and I were working on the noticing issue for just, if it's an imminent danger, you're going to deal with it through to protect the public safety immediately, and there's protocol for that. If it's a routine kind of inspection where you're thinking, I'm not sure if that balcony is just right, or I've seen an electrical code, but you want to get, that could be moving a gray area, but there are some things that you're suspicious of that you could just notify the property owner, and if they can't be here, they could send an agent. They could send a property maintenance or certified plumber, electrician, whatever. They could send someone to represent the property if they're in California. But so our idea was just giving appropriate and proper notice to the homeowner so they're just, so there's not this overreaching invasion of privacy.
Well,
so
I would not want it overreach, nor invade.
So like the proposed code versus the current code, there are kind of two discussions going on. Mark's talking about potentially doing more inspections and the talk about safety, referencing everything else like what Stephanie does, where you, not necessarily an inspection, but at least a safety certification. The language that was put in front of here in terms of the proposed code is about making it more restrictive in terms of inspecting, you know, as I look at the changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to understand from Courtney and Anna what problem you're trying to solve in terms of, like, what's been going on.
Just fixing up the code. I mean, I think the language that's currently in the code does establish somewhat of our liability on the part of the bank, because it gives you the impression that we're really doing all these things.
And we're not.
And we're not.
Exactly.
And I'm saying then, well, the next question is, do we want to? Or do we have the ability to? And when I asked myself those two questions, I came up with an answer that we don't have the ability to do many of the things, some of the things in here, and that we ought to then rewrite the code to effectively capture what we want to do and what we can do. That's all.
So does our town solicitor have a opinion as to this proposed code and whether this is something that we should be doing?
Yeah. And liability issues, all that. And would you tweak it, and so how?
The liability question is, I mean, is there a liability? There's always a liability. The question is, how do you quantify it? And I would say that there is not a very high level of risk of liability in a circumstance where you are licensing someone to rent their property and that you have a code provision that says you have to have a certain number of fire detectors, or you have to have working windows, or other criteria. And in the event that there was a loss of life, I don't think the town is exposed to a very high degree of liability in that instance.
Would having the owner sign an affidavit or something that says they have a in place, would that lessen the liability?
I think that might lessen the liability.
Okay.
Yes.
And to me, that would address the issue that is of concern to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only a half a dozen items, and we can discuss those items, but it would be a fire extinguisher or a smoke detector.
The ground fault connection, it's the house numbers, it is in our code already.
Whatever.
The house numbers, I pretty much have
them. If they were to certify that these are done, that would assuage my concern.
Yeah, I think there's no problem with regards to fire extinguishers, smoke detectors, and it's really educational. I mean, just to if you want to get into ground fault interrupts, the problem there is that the building codes, you know, grandfather in
change.
All the ones that, yeah, they change all the time.
You didn't used to have egress windows.
Yeah,
that's
an idea.
Give me the interest of time.
I'm thinking we should have you and Anna and Courtney work on this and come back with a checklist or an affidavit.
And we can put together a checklist and then come up to the next meeting and ask that next year when they apply for the business license that they need to fill out this form, have it notarized or whatever it is. And then that would be sufficient for me.
As a result of previous conversations about inspections, the mayor asked me to write an article for the newsletter, which the public will get, and that letter is an outreach, because Gary and I said, why don't we just inform the public? You need to be cognizant of this, check on these things. And we did an outreach to the property owners by way of the newsletter with a list of, I did send the email to add fire extinguishers. I think that was
It was added.
Okay. So we're starting today. It's in the mail to outreach to inform our property owners they have a responsibility to keep their homes safe, especially those who rent, et cetera, et cetera.
But we're just going to get it, we're just going to read it, whether they remember or do anything.
I just want to point out that I see a slightly higher standard that we have to encourage when it's a rental property versus an owner. If an owner, you know, I don't think we should intrude on an owner who doesn't get a business license. And I think there's
something about that, because the renters are only in a dangerous situation for, what, a week or two? The owner, on the other hand, if he doesn't rent, he's being subjected to the safety hazards in that house.
I think it's more of an intrusion. Tell an owner who doesn't rent
well,
they have to
and
do
I'll, it. And I'll give you a point in case, which is really concerning to me, and I had a breakdown fight with my father over this one.
Uh-oh.
10 years ago, when we were building our house, a local contractor, I walked in there, he was putting in ductwork, air conditioning. And when I looked at the ductwork, I said, you guys will be on 60 Minutes. Because what he was putting in was a ductwork that was made of loose, very loosely bonded fireplace cartons. And what turns out, after doing the research, Sussex County was perfectly fine with that. The industry was, quote, quietly removing the product as not to alert the lawyers. Other parts of Delaware outlawed the product. But in this area here, you may have ductwork that has fireplace.
But isn't that covered by our code? I mean, isn't that...
Well, you know, here again, so the bottom line of this is, who do you trust to inspect? And if you're going to do inspections, and I think there's a structure here, do you have, does the town have certified, qualified people to make these kind of inspections? And that's going to be an expensive item. If you have to have people certified, trained, refresher training to make these determinations, you even have a county.
Some of the worst fires I've seen in 33 years of living in Dewey Beach were not even rentals. One was on my street, wasn't a rental, it was the house completely burned, it's gone. And it was a safety issue with the careless negligence of the homeowner.
Okay,
so
well, then when you and Courtney get together with Mark, you can decide whether you want to do the regular homes or just...
Why don't we bring something back to the council?
I think something back to the council. Well, I think it's a policy issue, but what I want to walk away with today is that the current code says upon presentation of proper credentials and or upon written notice, unless it's a health, a threat to life, health, and safety, I think the owner deserves to be notified prior to somebody walking on their property to inspect. Now, I don't think it's happened in Dewey Beach if they do that, but the code permits it. And I just worry about an overreaching personnel, administration, somebody not thinking carefully about these judgment decisions. So I don't want the town to get sued for not properly noticing a person invading their private.
Well, what happens if the owner is there and the other renter? And the renter can
to my knowledge,
there are laws in Delaware that provide for privacy of the tenant. If they're under the landlord-tenant code, you must notify the tenant of
the landlord
inspection.
Unless it's
an immediate threat to life, safety,
right.
or
right.
health,
yeah, but
life.
The landlord-tenant code right. doesn't apply to weekly rentals.
No, it doesn't, but we have a lot of seasonal rentals. I mean, we have a few seasonal rentals, enough that we need to talk about it.
All right, well, why don't we let Mark and Courtney and Anna work on this in the meantime and come back to us next month.
Okay, but I would just add one complication. The current section covers all businesses, which is, and what we've been talking primarily about rental residences. And do you want us to work on the business one too? Because there's
that's between the two.
Yeah,
three.
Yeah, has that been an issue? I mean, Mark, when you want to enter a restaurant and you say you want to examine what's going on, do they?
I have never said that to any business. I've walked into businesses to make observations.
Right,
or
but you
to
never said you
eat,
would inspect them.
But I've never gone and said, I want to look at the kitchen. I've never said I want to look at
the kitchen, no. But
no, I have never done an inspection of the interior of a business. I've never knocked on the door, have never said, I want to inspect the inside of your house. I've never done that. And don't have any, and have no plans or interest in doing that.
You're the one who put this on the agenda in the workshop about routine inspections. You wanted to do it on a routine basis because we didn't come up with this idea.
I felt that the town needed to make sure that that when somebody was issued a license, that there be a basic safety inspection, safety, smoke detectors. It's simple, that we would ensure that they do it either by an inspection or some other mechanism, and that's what I wanted to bring to the table. Now, I brought that to you guys 2 months ago, and I haven't done anything on it because I know that it's something that we're going to be discussing, and I don't want to overreach
in Teal unless the commissioners are on board. I don't want to overreach at all. So I look forward to getting together with you two to come up with something that might work that addresses this issue that we can bring to council next month. Mm-hmm.
So are we agreeing at this meeting are there other people who support Courtney and I that unless it's a threat to health, life, or safety that we should receive notice?
I was not comfortable with the language you had proposed.
Okay, so.
But you're saying
you
sort of should not give
notice.
Well,
I like where you're going, but I think you need to explore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tell
us. Why would you take a look back here in the next few weeks?
I think it could be weak. I do. That's why I said to what extent. I think it could, we wanted to get the concept out here that we really think that in this litigious society, we don't need the town to be sued over overreaching authority.
I tried to give you a short answer. I tried to take a look at like what other towns do in that regard. And it seemed that the preponderance, some have formal inspection programs before you rent, we inspect. Right, that's the most serious thing, before you even rent, we inspect. But it seemed to me when I looked around that most municipalities, if they regulate rentals, they retain for rented properties, they retain a right to inspect that's fairly broad in terms of what they're allowed to
with
do.
With or without notice?
Well, I never saw one that said, you know, that they had to, like, provide a certified mail and
right.
a two-week window, for instance,
yeah.
you know? I mean, so, you know, Ocean Cities, I mean, I tried to print some stuff up last night. Ocean City just says premises at any reasonable time, right?
They have the most liberal policy of any county, I agree.
Yes.
Ocean City is so out there.
You know, Rehoboth has things about business hours, you know, so do it during business hours. So it seemed like the other towns weren't making it as restrictive as what you guys had put in there,
okay.
is what I would say.
Right.
I'm not saying it's wrong, I'm just saying it just seemed like that did not seem to be the preponderance of what
right.
most municipalities were doing in terms of the restrictiveness of it.
I would agree with that and say that I think we should give them notice, but I don't know why we have to come in with a certified letter. We need to
that can be tweaked.
Communicate them to them in some way.
I don't think that we have, I don't have a staff of people getting ready to knock on doors tomorrow to inspect. We haven't inspected, not planning on inspecting. So I think that in the interest of time, maybe Courtney and I get together and we'll come up with some recommendations to give to commissioners for the next meeting. We'll properly notice it. And if Courtney and Anna believe that this is something that requires a public hearing, then we'll make sure it's noticed 2 weeks in advance. Otherwise, we'll just address it for the next meeting.
Okay. I
have
a
question
on that.
Yeah, I said you and Courtney.
On that. Yeah,
you are. We have two people that want to speak, our ladies in pink, Ellen first. Come on up here, Ellen, if you can.
Yes.
Is it wrong? No?
Yeah.
No. If you could just stand over
here. Just
stand over here.
Yeah.
We want to come over around.
Well,
identify yourself, please.
I'm Ellen Lawyer, New Orleans Street. And my concern was this question of private residences that do not rent. And Gary seems to imply he's in favor of inspecting at a level beyond what even the code requires. And they were saying, oh, well, Sussex County allows this kind of...
Let me explain to you what
that works.
I'm an engineer.
So am I.
When I looked at that in the installation, I said there's no way in hell that was going to be in the house where my family lived in.
Uh-huh.
You may have it in your house. Because it was allowed by code. If you are only in the house for a week, you're probably not going to be affected by it. But people that live in that house for a whole year, what happens is the fibers break off, and they become airborne, and so that was my concern just as an example.
And you're going to prevent that problem by having people show up with the stuff?
Personally, I would like to know if it was my house. I'd like to know if there
was
a product being used as a health hazard.
But then the owner would hire someone to do an inspection. Like you guys are talking about structural integrity. Well, I hired a structural engineer, PE, to come in and check the structural integrity of my house.
Just to clarify, my comments are related to inspections of rentals, not inspections of property. I want to be real clear.
I would be encouraged if the council could at least decide that they're only focusing on rental and businesses
mm-hmm.
and not on private homes. I mean, it sounds like Jared would like to inspect private homes, and I'm very much not in favor of that.
Well, to me, the time to inspect that was during the construction, renovation.
Gary, you know what some municipalities do to respect people's rights? Because you get, when you're talking about an own home that's not rented out, you're getting into huge privacy rights that I know you guys are very concerned about.
Yeah.
What some municipalities do, and property owners hate this, but what municipalities do who want to encourage safety, what you're doing, is they say when you sell property, there has to be a safety inspection, and that they've used the property transfer to try to ensure that things that they were done safely.
I guess what I got misinterpreted here is I was my real comment by saying that I was hoping you would assume when the person was that the people that did the inspection 10 years ago didn't know enough to determine that that was a safety hazard. They were the ones that were required by the county to come and inspect the house. They did not know their job. They allowed unsafe building products to be used in that house.
But who's
in
the town?
It's the county. The county does that.
All I'm saying is be aware that just because somebody shows up with a pad of paper and new door to inspect does not mean that they know enough to do that inspect.
We're getting way off the subject. We are not interested in house inspections at all. Private property.
I am not proposing whatsoever that we go back into private properties and do inspections. I don't think it would hurt to say once in a while, you discovered that products that were used during
the time frame. That's something that would be a great article in the newsletter.
That would be in the newsletter.
Not something that should cause a conversation.
I agree. Okay, let's end this conversation. Okay, thank you, Ellen, for bringing that up. Marcia, you have something to say quickly, please?
Yeah. Green Street. Marcia Shepard.
We're
hoping to have a single inspection when you apply for an application and they don't do an inspection again.
Right.
So that's it for them.
But they're looking into changing that.
Right.
Go ahead.
That's my opinion. I think my town at University Park also doesn't get involved in any safety inspections because they feel like they run more of a burden of risk that they've signed off on the safety element of the house to not do that, and we have chosen, our council has left it to the onus of the property owner, because if you go in and sign a checklist, if you signed off as the town, and something changes between then, and there's a lawsuit, that's troubling. But anyway, I think that as far as rentals, I think you should be focused on being as property owner friendly, as rental tenant friendly as you can. There are comments that I hear about the town not being property owner friendly when it comes to construction inspections. And you know, I was just talking to my neighbor behind my house the other day who told me he was in changing some fixtures in his bathroom and Mr. Mears was behind it in his house. Not announced, didn't knock. That same situation happened at my house.
Did we have construction going on with the town?
Yeah, let's just have some courtesy. You have the right to come in and inspect construction any time. But to walk in someone's house through their front door and disappear in their living room is just not courteous. Mm-hmm. And it sends a message of sort of we're coming out to get you, to find you. And my neighbor's comment was, I just couldn't believe he was in my house. Didn't know nothing, and I said, well, you really should tell the town because they're looking at these kind of policies, and he said, I'm afraid of retaliation. But that's what you have to think about. You know, this is, you know, a building inspector approved your work.
Mm-hmm.
We want it to be friendly process, helpful process. Right now, the tone, I think, from what I've heard from people, and I want to direct you to this person privately because they don't want to say it publicly, is not that it's friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to change that shit.
Thank you. All right, let's move on with that one. Do we all agree that Courtney and Anna and Gary will work on that? Mark. And Courtney, Anna, and Mark.
Correct.
Yeah, and Fred as an advisor on that in terms of legality. All right, good enough. Now, number seven, I think, Mark, you wanted to address this one. Discuss the process, finalize resolutions and ordinances as voted on and approved by commissioners. the reason for this is there have been some issues sometimes where an ordinance will get signed, but it may not be the right version. All right, and so Mark had a recommendation we came up with I'd like him to share.
Anna brought up to me a couple of issues that were concerning about an ordinance that occurred last year that we'll be able to talk in more detail at a later time. But what I was going to recommend for you to consider, and this is to discuss, not a vote. What I was going to recommend to you all is that to eliminate a current problem, which is sometimes we have an ordinance, a resolution, between the time that it is written, amended and amended and amended, there might be 15 different amendments that occur between the original and the date of the meeting, compounded by the fact that at the meeting we may be making several changes to it. And after the meeting on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, it's very difficult for me to make sure I have the right copy because there's so many different versions with so many different changes. And many times we will pass an ordinance or a resolution and you will ask that other things be inserted in it for a language that affects A, B, C, D, D. Maybe we get it right, maybe we don't. Maybe Fred works on it, maybe David King works on it, maybe I work on it, maybe a commissioner works on it. And what ends up happening is, in my office, I might, on a given ordinance like the brew pub, between the time the brew pub was first discussed and a written document was issued versus the final one, there might be 20 or 30 different versions. And so I think that as we need to be more precise. What I would like you all to consider is that you not vote on anything until something is in its final form. That we begin to have the discipline to do that. And that then what we do is when we vote on a resolution or an ordinance, that when you vote on it, you have a final version. Then what happens is the mayor will actually sign it at this. It takes about 3 seconds to sign it. The mayor will sign it once it's voted on. I'll sign it once it's voted on. And therefore, what will distinguish the final version from every other version is one will be signed and the other 30 or 40 or 50 will not be.
There's one thing I disagree with on that, and that is that there are times when we need to get things done. And the delay of another month may mean we miss the season on any number of things. And so I'd say as a general policy that would work, but if we say it as that we're always going to do that or we have to do it, I think it's going to limit us in some time. So what I'd recommend is this, that when we vote on something, you bring the final version that we have at that point. If there are changes made, I'd ask our town solicitor to make the changes on the hard copy that he has. I will sign the one at the meeting once it's passed with any edits that we have made, make sure they're correct. All right, and then that goes to town hall, they make the edits, but when I come to sign the final ordinance, show me the edits as they were penciled in and I will compare that to the final version and make sure it's correct. That's what I did on the group up. I made sure that everything was exactly as we
intended. So let's do this. This is not meant to be a long, but let's consider that. I'll come up with a more specific idea next month, but the idea is, and it was pointed out to me by Anna, and we've had this issue with a couple other ordinances years ago, and then even current. It's confusing at town hall, and I know that what we do is as an example, Nancy will run a profit loss statement, and she will run 12 of them before the final one is done. And she writes draft as of this date, draft as of this date, draft as of this date. And then there's one stamped in red that says final. And I just need some help because I hope you can appreciate that when you have 10, 12, 15, 20 versions, it's really hard on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday. With the best of intentions, we're trying to get the correct version. And so I could use some help in this. So I'll come with some specific ideas that we can try to ratify for next month, if that's okay.
And one of the things that I suggested to you a couple of months ago when we were talking about the renovation in here was AV equipment.
Yeah.
And the reason I suggested that a couple of months ago was to address this issue. And what I would think might possibly be working and may add a little bit of time to the meeting, but the ability to put on the wall, on a screen, the document that we're working on.
Can do.
And you can have a staff member, and I know you should have at least one staff member back there who can quickly edit it based on the amendments.
Sure.
And then we have, everybody can see exactly what we're about.
That would be great. We'll have a copy machine here that's suitable. We can make a copy of it and print it.
Oh, you just have to print it.
But what I think out of print,
I think we all get the spirit of this.
Yeah.
Trying to do it in writing as much as possible so that we don't make mistakes.
Okay. Okay.
And just for the record, because I thought this was about the comp plan ordinance 704, that the details of this do not pertain to 704. It's a completely different situation, which Gary's aware of because we did a memo about it. But we'll address that at a later time, probably maybe under personnel.
All right. Number 8, discuss and possibly vote to forward to the Planning Commission an amendment to grandfather all current existing driveways. Anna, I think you put that one on the agenda.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Courtney and I sponsored this agenda item because it didn't come up as a parking issue. It came up as an enforcement issue. Will we either amend the code or allow me to enforce, because that's my job, to enforce, and that was the direction we got from the town manager. So what I did on this was just a public handout called History of Driveway Issues. This is a layman's property owner's comment about a little bit of the history. So four items are on here about this. If you look at the enumerated items, four categories for people who have in excess of 20 feet driveway. As an example, my house is a good example, although I hate to personalize this, but I have my driveway where I live is 20 feet exactly. It's a new driveway. However, when I tore the old house down, it was very non-conforming. It didn't meet any, all my setbacks did not meet today's standards for zoning because it was built, back in the, years ago. So I considered my driveway grandfather because I couldn't reconfigure my house. So no one ever enforced that driveway saying it's over 20 feet, you can't use this, that's enough of personalization. So number one is, if the driveway was before 1981, before incorporation of the town, that's one category that an excess of 20-foot driveway might fit. Number two, the driveway is in place since incorporation, but before the driveway ordinance limiting the driveway was put into effect. Number three, driveways that have been permitted by the town to be constructed after the driveway ordinance was passed, we've got before and after. Number four, we had some issues that came up at the Planning and Zoning Commission level at a public hearing 4 years ago when some attorneys came forward to represent property owners in Dewey Beach about driveways, right-of-way issues. They kind of, sometimes they cross over, but this isn't about the right-of-way, although the driveway may cross over to the right-of-way, which I'll get to in a minute. So the safety reasons, and T.J. Redifer sent me an email about this. He wanted me to explain what did that mean. The attorney came, this is my recollection, my understanding. The attorney said that the property owner on Chesapeake, Ocean Bluff, had a safety issue that they worked out with the town. And so their driveway could not be enforced because it was approved by the town. Now, I don't have any of the homework or details, but that was a safety issue presented by an attorney at a meeting. And there is a record of that meeting if anybody wants to check the record. So I don't want to, because the meeting's gone on so long, I don't want to belabor this, but I do want to mention a couple points is that the state, the county, and the town have permitted access to their properties from the paved portion of the street, regardless of the width of the driveway, whether it's 20 feet or not, or another number.
What are you referring to?
I'm saying that there has been the state, the county, and the town, to my knowledge, have not enforced, they've permitted access to your property on the paved portion of the street, regardless of your driveway. So it's a land use, I see it as a land use issue. Let me finish the 3 points, and then we can address them. Since our town has been incorporated, we've permitted access. Now, our town manager, Warden Elliott, did attempt to enforce a driveway on the north end of town. I don't know how many. We all remember this. And the town, some property owners, it was an upheaval. To the extent that signs were posted on the homeowner's property. So the message that I understand the commissioners gave at that time was just stop this. We're stopping it.
So that's why I put a note here that it's a land use issue that's been permitted on private property for whatever reason. There's a lot of reasons. So Courtney might want to add to this. So that's how I kind of summarize this and say that because the town manager said, he didn't say it's a money issue. He said this isn't a revenue issue. My point is, on a weekend, 30, 40,000 people come to town. They get here. Our town's full most weekend nights, Friday, Saturday nights, it's full. So the way the driveways are today, they either get here because they can find a place to park, they drive the trolley, they get a cab, they get here. I don't know how they get here, but they're here. And we have a thriving town and a fun town. So my point is, if we can accommodate the people today, do we want to take a snapshot of the town today? Even Bethany, I think, has their driveways registered at Town Hall, the way I read the code. Now, don't quote me, but they actually register their driveways because of enforcement issues. Because parts of Bethany, one part of Bethany varies from another part where the police get so confused about ticketing people, they actually have a registration system, and I can get more information on that. So I'm just saying, do we want to send this to the Planning Commission? I think we should because of what Mark brought up, and have them look at this and say, what are we going to do with it? And have them recommend, report back.
All right, Fred, first of all, can you address the issue of grandfathering legally?
Yeah, thank you. Well, I think Anne's talking about two different, the grandfathering issue as it relates to use of public lands is the subject of a memo that has been circulated. Mark really is probably equally or maybe even better able to discuss that point. But I know I'm very comfortable in saying that you cannot, as a property owner, even with the passage of a great deal of time, claim ownership or use over public lands. But I don't think that's the primary focus of Anna's remarks. I think the primary focus is what to do about enforcement if you have widespread, and I'm assuming this, I don't have any personal knowledge, but there seems to be a suggestion that there's widespread noncompliance with the driveway ordinance, such that driveways may often be much wider than they're permitted to be by the code. And I will say that I would recommend against a very complicated process whereby certain people are eligible for different treatment than other people. And it seems to be the direction that this is going in. We're saying that if you meet this criteria, then you're okay, and if you don't, then I just think that gets to be very uncertain. I would rather the commissioners say, this is a problem, and to address it, let's amend the code, and then have a big, healthy debate over how to amend the code, and that would be an appropriate subject to refer to planning and zoning, as opposed to referring to planning and zoning something that is not an ordinance, but instead kind of a recommendation for a policy on how to classify certain property owners differently from others. Grandfathering is a term or concept that is loosely thrown around. It means different things to different people, and it's very much disfavored by the courts. The courts are going to look for ways to find that you're not grandfathered.
I'm a real mistake.
There's a word.
But if you change the code, then you don't.
But that is amnesty.
If you change the code, then you don't have to deal with amnesty.
No, I'm just
right. I know.
But how can you change the code?
I want you to change the code and say that the driveway requirements are now different. Yeah. And so now everybody's compliant.
So let me. I want to ask you a few questions just so we're clear. And to your point, I think we should try to keep today's discussion just to the 20-foot width and not talk about taking up public lands where people do something in the right way, right?
I agree.
It's just making things even more complicated.
Nobody ever said we own the right of way. We don't. So nobody ever, that fact was never,
that was never
alleged, but this piece does not say
right,
that we do not.
I'm saying, we're keeping that out of it. We're talking about width of driveways only today, right? So you've categorized in four different categories. For people who, let's say they have a 30-foot wide driveway on their property that's paved or stoned or whatever, so it was very clear. and they've had it since 1970, long before we were incorporated. I'm going to state, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, since the zoning code permitted it at that time, there was no restriction against that. My interpretation would be that you can't enforce a 20-foot rule on those people because they already have that in existence. Is that true, or is that not true?
Well, I would rather not answer that question.
The record of previous meetings indicate attorneys will argue that based on their legal research. As far as that, there were attorneys who said that what you just said is exactly the truth, and then you'll have Mark will say that's not true. So I think it's a legal issue, and the attorneys will come out of the woodwork for this issue. That's how I would address it.
So,
since I've seen it.
One thing I'm more comfortable saying is that if a property owner pulls a permit and their property's not in compliance, they can be made to bring the property into compliance. That could be a condition of the issuance of the permit. But I don't want to give, I wasn't anticipating, if you want a written opinion for me before the next meeting or between now and a week or 10 days from now, then I can consider, I'll see what you ask.
Would you be able to come up with some recommendations?
Okay. Well, I can comment on this recommendation, mm-hmm. if that's what you'd like.
The
reason why I asked that question is, from my perspective, how you deal with somebody who put a driveway in before there was a rule on driveway widths is very different than how you deal with somebody who put a driveway in after those rules were put in.
Yeah.
And that is why I asked the question, made the descriptive assumption, was because if there's already a legal precedent around that, then that kind of solves part of that, that dilemma. Right.
Okay.
But you're saying that it's not necessarily so clear. Okay. So I get that.
Okay.
I think fundamentally my issue with this, I get we're trying to kind of make clarity, but in one of your points you said that driveways have been permitted, and I think what I've seen happen over the years is when people who are doing new things since the code's been put in place, when they go and they make their 50-foot wide driveway, neighbors are like, that's not supposed to be allowed. Neighbors call town hall, they complain. Town hall comes out and says, your driveway is only supposed to be 20 feet, you got to bring it into compliance. Well, some people may, other people are like, and then what happens is there's no backbone to do it. So the type of language thing permitted, I don't know. It just seems like there's kind of like this uproar and dewy about trying to enforce what's already in the code. And your thing is to say, okay, let's grandfather now, and then everyone going forward has to comply. But I would make the stipulation that that's just basically giving all these people who broke the rules legal protection. And then going forward, we'll still have the same issue with people saying, well, it's always been the rule, so I'm just going to do it anyway. So I don't think that that's really going to curtail the effort. And if we even send this to planning and zoning, there's going to be one big negative effect, is we will have said we're sending to planning and zoning something that says everybody who does this before it's thing is grandfathered. A lot of people don't like people parking in front of their house. They just don't want people parking in front of their house.
Yeah.
And a lot of people want to not have to buy parking permits for however many cars they have. So what that's going to encourage people to do is create a frenzy, even though it's not passed yet, for everybody to go out and, quite frankly, break the zoning code that we have today.
I know.
Get their big 50-foot driveway in before everyone's grandfathered.
Right.
And then if we end up not doing it, they'll be like, well, you proposed this, and you said it was going to be grandfathered, so that's why I do it, and now I'm doing this. I get that we want to get the driveway situation under control, but to send something down that basically says before such a date, everyone's going to be grandfathered, I think it's just going to create a huge set of problems.
I do too. I was thinking I'm going to go plant trees all in front of my garden.
I realize I'm kind of throwing a lot of cold water on this, but I just think it's going to, I just really, really.
Well, interesting enough, C3, which is very walkable to the beach, has no cars parked on the street in the whole development, 124 houses, and they have no parking because they don't want it. But yet they come and use their lifeguards in our beach every day.
Right.
So it's interesting that you said that. They're saying, oh, I went by parking, but we feel that that's an amenity we want to provide as a town.
Right.
So we're just saying, how do we resolve this?
Yeah.
And it's not that people have planted beautiful gardens where a car could park. And that day we rode around with Mark, you know, the mayor and I were saying, oh my God, this would come out. It was beautiful.
But that's the right-of-way issue that we're
talking about. Well, wait a minute. Yeah. It could be a piece of both. But this is the thing. It also defined the neighborhood character that Diane and I, when we got in the car with Mark, we said, oh my God, that's beautiful what they have. And Mark is like, wondering what we were thinking. But it was part of the neighborhood character.
That happens.
But again, it's what we want for our town. It comes down to a philosophical issue.
But in that case, it's not a philosophical issue because you don't have the right to tell someone that they may take public lands away forever.
Right.
And that's what I think this memo goes to, is that you cannot sanction or authorize someone to have landscaping in the right-of-way. You don't have the authority to do it.
We have permitted it as a history, as a matter of history and record, as a matter of record.
By permitting it.
Allowed it. We have not enforced it.
Well, but you didn't take a backhoe in there and dig it out. I mean, so by that definition, you permitted it. But you can't.
We had an ordinance that would allow that to happen. We had an ordinance on the books that went nowhere that allowed you to just scrape it, the legal land. The government-owned land.
Mm-hmm.
You just clear the right-of-ways and just start all over.
That's not
the driveway issue. Oh, yeah, we have the right to do that. We had an ordinance in the book to do it. It was very legal.
Can we stick to the driveway with
okay.
I'm trying to solve the right-of-way thing is like...
They
do overlap.
One can't be solved without the other.
Because if a driveway is 50 foot wide, then it, by necessity, is going to discourage somebody from parking in front of a portion of it.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to distinguish one entirely from the other. The opening of the driveway itself is going to create a loss of the property adjacent.
And that's a decision the town has to make. Look at registered development. The county has absolutely no parking. I mean, I know that's not what we want, but it's just an example of how they design their land.
So my point is, change the code then.
If you ride around Ann Acres, you can park there all year except May 15th to September 15th. All Van Acres, it's a registered development, and they all use our beach, they all use our lifeguards. I mean,
what does that have to do with the driveway?
To his point about parking, he says, thing about people planting flowers and.
Okay.
We were talking about parking. They're
all
very close to us.
All right, David, I know we've referred to the Planning Commission before. I know it's been
David
painful. Daniels, what do you think?
Let me try to move you forward a little.
Mm-hmm.
But first, I strongly encourage you not to talk. I strongly encourage you to talk about driveway entrances and driveway. In the zoning code, they are distinct.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to call driveway entrances driveways confuses the issue.
That's what it says in 185-87. Driveway entrances may be constructed in
Okay, so driveways that are on your private property, there's code regulations about driveways. Driveway entrances are on the right of way. In most cases, I agree that they're just a straight extension, but in some cases, they're not. And so to avoid confusion, we need to take that as a discipline. The Planning Commission is certainly happy to unpeel this onion again and have a couple of public hearings about what to do, and might recommend amnesty or changing the code or any of a number of things. Anna, you mentioned four categories. There is at least a fifth category, which is true of one of your neighbors across the street from you, who had a driveway that may or may not have conformed, and long after the codes were firm and clear, expanded the driveway.
Right.
That's happened a lot, and so one needs to know how to think about them as well as other cases along. And Fred, for you, I have just one question to help guide me if this goes to the Planning Commission. Could the town register sunsetting easements for
situations where one can document any of Anna's four concerns. So the town just, you know.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure what's involved in that. That's an interesting.
I mean, that gets away from this issue of grandfathering or whatever. I mean, if one had a formal documentation that their driveway was configured like this in 72.
What you might also consider if we go down those trails is to do a relaxation of any fee for the Board of Adjustment, but let them go to the Board of Adjustment for free. And the town will absorb the expense, and let them come to the Board of Adjustment and get a variance to say that they can have what they've always had. And let's encourage the Board of Adjustment to be very liberal in that and not make the homeowner pay the $500 fee for it. What I might suggest here is that we consider referring, let me back up. I think that the driveway entrances right away are all connected. I think it's very, we can discuss them separately, but I think they're interconnected. And I might suggest we are not enforcing this as we speak, and I have no intention of enforcing it next week or next month, because I just there's too many things up in the air for this. It's too controversial. So what I might suggest is that we consider having a workshop at some point among us and get some public feedback, have a workshop and or discussion, get some good public feedback, and then figure out what we want to refer to planning.
You mean the planning commission would have a workshop or the commissions would have a workshop?
We either have a workshop or have a meeting dedicated toward this one subject. Hear what the public has to say, try to make sure that we prepare for it and understand what the issues are. Then figure out what we want to refer to planning and zoning. And then put a timeline on this, that in the next, 6 months, 9 months, we will address it. But I can put together a timeline of how we want to bring the right people together to discuss this, because I have a lot of problems in that, and I don't want to pick on my friend at the little store. He has a sign in front of the little store saying private parking. He says that's his driveway. He's across the street, has a sign saying private parking, but it's not. They don't have the right to put that sign up. But I don't want to go to them and tell them to take it down. So there's all these unwritten deals. When people go to write, I'm sure that Sam knows, the chief knows, when he goes to write tickets, there's certain houses you're not supposed to enforce it on because they think they're entitled, but others are not. It's almost impossible to keep track of it.
Yeah.
So they know that if you go to this house, you can't enforce it. But if you go to that house, you can.
Yeah. And that's offensive to a common person's sensibility.
Yeah.
And that's just the people who respect them.
Yeah.
Right. Well, so I just think that I think that in a cogent manner, we need to get public input. We need to understand what the regs say. In the meantime, I'm not gonna inflame the issue. But let's try to, over the next 6-9 months, let's try to address it.
And this is we do even have commercial properties that I consider, when Route 1 came in, I consider them commercial properties in Route 1 near Harry in that area. I think they're grandfathered.
I should have rephrased from using the term grandfather now.
I'm sorry, but I think you'll have attorneys to disagree with you, Mayor.
Okay.
But grandfathered in what sense?
That they were there, and David said, they were there before, during a different code, and they haven't changed anything.
Bill,
and even some properties, I got a permit on a house, and no one said I had to make my driveway conforming before I tore it down. So, I mean, we didn't have a process in place to deal with some of these issues that may have made sense at the time, but it didn't happen. So there's a culture of a sort of a laid-back atmosphere, but there's also people like the Chesapeake owner that the attorney represented. I don't have the history. I don't have the document from Town Hall that he felt gave his client the right to have the big driveway.
Okay.
I don't know that.
Dealt with this on many fronts over the years. What's your thought?
I had to raise my hand when Anna brought that up about Highway 1.
Yeah.
You might check,
because
when Highway 1 came through, they gave people on the corners the right to have entrances.
Yeah.
To their property within 50
right.
feet of the then what finally existed as Highway 1.
Exactly. Right.
So there is a difference about that. But I want to tell you that I have agreed with almost everything that the town manager has said earlier today, because there are some atrocious situations in town.
Right.
And like David said, it's only been because the town has been afraid to to enforce it,
mm-hmm.
that they haven't enforced. It's only been because the town has consistently said something that was brought up earlier about lawsuit. You can't be afraid of a lawsuit. You have to, if you've got a logical reason for a rule or regulation or changing a rule or regulation, then you should enforce it. If you can't enforce it at all or are afraid to enforce it, don't create the rule.
Thank you. All right, Fred, I'm thinking, and maybe the rest agree or don't, but you said you could write up something. Perhaps you could write up something we could talk about on the agenda next month, and then based on that decide whether we need to have a workshop or whether it goes to planning and zoning. Would that be a reasonable approach for everyone?
Courtney, do you have anything to say? Could you apply this?
Okay.
What was it that the prior town manager did? He put up signs?
Oh, no, the property owner posted signs on the property compliments of Gordon Elliott.
Oh.
Well, that was the one right in Carolina.
Carolina, yeah.
I know exactly
about that. But that was the beginning of enforcement. That was just like the beginning.
He trimmed back.
Oh,
yeah, I remember.
And it's not that he did anything wrong. It's just that the whole, everybody went ballistic.
All right, let's move on. Fred, you'll get us a report next month. We'll put it on the agenda and see where we are at that point, okay? Number nine, to discuss and possibly vote to use the effective language of the 2013-14 residential rental license and suspend amendments to the application, and there's specific items listed. Now, my first question would be to Fred, and that is, if we have sent out the rental licenses, people have signed it, that becomes a form of agreement between the town and that individual, and now we're looking at suspending it. I don't know whether we can even do that legally. So I'd like you to address that.
Okay.
I mean, people have received these applications, they find them. As far as I'm concerned, it is in effect, and I don't see how we can make changes for this year. We can.
Did you want the five issues first?
The right problem.
I have five reasons why to do this. You wanted to go first? You want to go first, or?
I suppose so.
Okay, the five reasons to do this, I'll make it as fast as I can. Number one is we did not vote on the amendments to the application on February 8th, which was...
I'm sorry, go ahead. Do we have a copy of what we were reading?
No, but I said most of this at the last meeting.
Okay, I thought you said that...
No. I went over a lot of this is review. I just tried to put into one category to save time. We did not vote on the amendments to the license application on February 8th, which was the notice that we would discuss and vote, only 20 days preceding the date of the new license period. Proposed amendments were discussed as a carryover from an earlier meeting, but no vote. Two, there are application conflicts. In other words, the application conflicts with our code, Chapter 112-4, the definition of a bedroom, which we went over with Mr. Wilson at the last meeting. Number three, the application requires a license to sublet, which is a conflict with the Delaware Code, Title 24, Section 29. The Delaware Code provides for a licensure exemption for subletting. The business of subletting does not equate to the business of leasing, according to Title 24. Number four, the Delaware Landlord-Tenant Code recognizes Title 24, Section 29. Okay, number four, the Delaware Landlord-Tenant Code recognizes subletting, and we talked about this at another meeting, as a transfer of rights rather than a business venture, and Courtney addressed that. Number five, on the day following our April meeting, I emailed the town manager and solicitor a list of questions. This was after the last meeting, but this is a concern. I had a list of questions of code that I felt that I perceived as code issues in Chapter 117 licensing as it applies to this application. The town manager did not want Fred to do billable work on this until he reviewed the May contemplated agenda. To me, that's too little too late. This is not ready to take effect in this current license year. The last one is I brought the handout of that email with my questions for the solicitor to review so you could each have a copy. But it hasn't been addressed because I wasn't given the permission because it's billable hours, and I didn't exercise my authority to go beyond that.
Anna, you have a question about that last statement. Do you feel as though you need to get permission before you talk to the attorney?
No, but I, at a professional courtesy, the not is in capital letters. I think I have the authority, but because this is such a debacle, and because we never voted on something that was, and I have emails backing up a request to not use, I have in writing, let's use a 2013 license and make this effective the next license year. I'm not saying I'm against these items. I'm saying they're not ready for prime time. So I put the request in writing. It was ignored, and I don't know how we even got to today's discussion. So I have a huge issue with process.
We discussed this.
We didn't vote.
I know that, Anna, but people agreed to it. They did not come up with objections at that time. It was a kind of a consensus kind of thing. We said we considered it was minor. And so I think for you to say that just because we didn't vote on it, we should negate everything. There are times we don't vote on things. I mean, we've added, for the record, for those who may not see it, we've added the change of the date for the year. We've added a request for the owner's email, and that's for an emergency if you need to get a hold of them, that their pipes are leaking or something like that. We've defined a bedroom as a room divided from the general living area of the house and containing a sleeping unit such as a bed or pull-out couch. And we agreed, whether we voted on or not, that children under 5 are not counted as determining maximum occupancy. Now, that was meant as kind of a relaxation, you know, that if you have an occupancy of 10 in your house and somebody has a baby and they want to bring that's number 11, that, you know, we weren't going to really enforce the occupancy laws on there. And really, the occupancy laws are only an issue when there's a disturbance in the house anyway, quite frankly. So most of these, I personally consider very, very minor changes, and we all agreed to them at that time. So then to come back 2 months later and say,
yeah,
I disagree with it and we should negate it all, I think is inappropriate.
It was on the agenda. I brought this to everybody's attention last month. We didn't vote on it. I did an email. I did everything I could to stop the train wreck.
Why didn't
I wasn't
able to stop it?
Because we didn't vote on it. I said at the meeting, everybody heard this, I assume we're using the current form. Now, there is a problem with what we didn't vote on. It conflicts with Chapter 112-4, which Harry had a problem with.
Mm-hmm. What's the problem for this summer? I mean, I'm just trying to understand.
I'm just saying, use the license as a record.
These people already did this. So what's the problem?
Okay, so are you going to cite Harry? Are you going to cite Harry?
No.
Okay. I'm just saying, suspend it. Are you going to cite? He has a bedroom that's defined under 112-4, but our license conflicts with that. Our license application conflicts with 112-4. So if he has occupants in that bedroom, he's not complying with the code. I mean, if he uses that bedroom as he did last year, he's in violation of the code.
So, you know, we might need to clean this up for next year, but I just don't see why we would try to.
All I'm saying is. Use the language of the current application because we never voted on this.
Right, we can't use language now because this process is already. So wait a minute, Anna. There's something that was said at the February meeting, my first meeting, that Mark said, and he talked about, you know, trying to enforce the code using sound judgment. So you clearly pointed out, like, a definition in the bedroom discrepancy.
Subway.
Marcia pointed out the issue as a landlord, you know, the occupancy issue, which is something we really didn't, you know, kind of consider, you know, how the landlords might feel about it. So I did all of that. But let's just let Mark use his sound judgment about these issues during the course of enforcement. And then for next year, get a license, get a form in place that's consistent with the code, and revisit the issue of, are we going to count a children under 5? You know, I mean, because it's kind of, I feel like the train kind of left the station for this year. And let them use his sound judgment so we don't have a mess on our hands.
I really have issues with sound judgment when the code is involved, but I mean, I don't know.
We're aware of it, so we're not going to be going and enforcing that.
I mean, you're not going to go around and ask anybody who has a sublet that they have to come and get a license. Is that what you're saying? Because in Rehoboth, you can sublet and you do not need a license. I don't know anybody who requires that in Delaware, that you have to get a license to do business as a sublet under a lease that you already have a contractual arrangement with.
Well, we talked about this a lot.
I know, and we disagree, and that's why I sent the email. I have a whole list of questions, which I want you to please walk
through. But Anna, this form goes to people who are applying for a license.
Right.
If somebody who sublets does not apply for a license, then this form doesn't even affect them.
Right.
Because they haven't asked for a license. So this form has nothing to do with the question of whether somebody who sublets should get a license. Unless they say, hey, I'm in the business of renting. I am allowing a property that I have an interest in to be used by others in exchange for money.
which in my view is the equivalent of somebody who rents their property to somebody else. But I don't think anybody really feels that strongly about that issue. But this form doesn't. This form has suspending the use of this form is not going to advance your argument or really change anything when it comes to the issue of subletting.
I think Anna just wants it clear that the town is not going to go out looking for.
We said that.
Yeah, and that's, so, but we ought to be on record.
I don't think we should be enforcing anything on this license that's new that we didn't vote on. For one thing, I think it's like, somebody talked earlier about approving yoga.
The only thing from this license that comes into enforcement is two things. The kids under five on the form, and the definition of bedroom might be slightly different than what's in the code.
Yeah, and the subletting, because what you don't understand, and someday we'll talk about this, is a culture in Dewey Beach where you do sell shares of your rental income. I don't want to go into that now, but it's a $4 million house just sold where they do that, and under what Mark wants to do.
So Anna, the sublet issue is something that the code was silent on.
Yeah, it wasn't an issue whether it's allowed or not allowed. It was an issue the code was silent on.
Well, I'm not sure I agree with that. That's what that's about. I'm not saying I agree with that.
But it's just an interpretation of the code. And you all, as commissioners, the code is in your hands. If you want to make it absolutely clear that not just this town manager, but any future town manager cannot attempt to require a business license from someone who is subletting the property, then the code should be amended.
Okay, the number one legal argument for saying the code needs to be, that you suggested we amend the code to say sublets are exempt. Okay, the code says you shall collect money for this. Excuse me, Mayor. The code says you shall collect money. Okay, so that means you must charge for a sublet according to our code. So I'm not into this agreement of what the code says. I do not agree with that legal advice.
Can we just address the sublet issue, the kids under five issue, next year, and kind of let this thing lie?
Right.
I mean, can't we just address them?
People are already finding
that
ones are on file.
I'm saying, we could make our whole new form. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying suspend the amendments of the application.
So we are going to suspend the date change and the, you know, you're saying suspend everything. So now our license is in
effect
2013.
Not the date.
We don't get the email.
The effective, the ones that don't mate with the code.
Marshall wants to say something.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. Well, David said it.
I agree. This was not voted on. It is applying standards on occupancy limits, definition of bedroom that are not consistent in any way with our code, our laws. And I would think, in good governance, that you would, once you have been made aware of any text in an application that's not consistent with your laws that are in the zoning book, that you would, yes, suspend it, and yes, correct it. Because if it is now our nature to say, gosh, golly, we just changed the law, but we forgot to change it in the zoning code, but we'll just live with it for this year. And we know it's in conflict with our laws that tell us how we have to deal with occupancy in town and who violates it. It's in conflict. So let's just apply the mayor's same rationale. If you made a mistake and it wasn't authorized, and you issued the building permit, and you realized once you issued the building permit, which we have this situation, that it was not correct, it got corrected. The building permit was withdrawn because it was in conflict with the law. But in this case, you've got two items that are in conflict with the law that none of you gave the authority or voted to put in text. And that application is meaningless. What has to be enforced is our law. And that has to be corrected because the town is required to enforce the law. On a more comical note, I should really love that this says that the definition of a bedroom is a room separated from the main living area surrounded by
four walls, because my property at 116 Chesapeake Bend, the way I bought it, has five bedrooms. Because I have a room in the back surrounded by four walls that had a sleep sofa that is separate from the main living area, and I think this is great for me. But I think it stinks for the process on the fact that you're willing to call these administrative minor changes and give examples that those assimilate to change of a date, request for an email. These aren't minor administrative things that you came to consensus on. I don't believe you came to consensus on these. I was at that meeting. They were very controversial. But this is something you wrote into a text of an application, not a zoning code, not an ordinance, that was never approved by the town council, and clearly you are aware it conflicts with the zoning laws, our laws, the things that we have to legally abide by. And I think you have an obligation to change them. Otherwise, good news, I have five bedrooms in Chesapeake since I bought it. And now I comply with the law. So how can you single me out that I didn't have five bedrooms? Because I can give you drawing of my house when I purchased it. And when my neighbor's house next door has 15 people in the four bedrooms, and they're claiming, and it's out of control, which usually is in June, and their claim is, well, eight of them are under five. How are you going to enforce that? How are you going to enforce which people are under five or not? The fire marshal set standards.
I'm sorry, time's up, Marshal.
A couple of things. This language that appears regarding bedrooms is designed to advise people as to how much license fee they should pay. Because the license fee is based on the number of bedrooms. So this apparently is not reciting the definition of a bedroom per the Sussex County Building Code. But this does not trump this language doesn't change the code in any way. All it was designed to do is advise people as to how to pay their license fee, how to pay the appropriate amount, because on their application, they're going to declare how many bedrooms they have, and they're going to pay the appropriate fee based on the number of those bedrooms.
Right.
We're not going to send them a copy of the Sussex County Building Code and say, interpret this, and then tell us how many bedrooms you have. We can't, Mark and the town manager or the town staff who prepares this form can't change the code. They're not authorized to do it. We can't go in and enforce a standard that appears in this form that differs from a standard that appears in the code. So it's really a non-issue. Additionally, though, we're hearing a lot of argument now in support of doing something that is based on the very strict adherence to code requirements that have been enacted, and yet we just finished a debate where we talked about not strictly adhering to our requirement to enforce the code. I find it to be very
which way do we want to go?
So Harry said that he loses a bedroom with this new application.
He said
because he had it has to have a sleeping unit in it. So does he have he's counting his bedrooms on his application based on the definition of a bedroom, which varies from the code. So that was Harry's point. Well, which is it? Why did you change it? We never changed it, just the application changed.
This form just says that you need to calculate what your license fee is, and you need to indicate on your application how many bedrooms you have.
Okay, so so what Harry can do is he can pay less money but use that bedroom. Essentially, he can pay less money, but use the bedroom. He's not going to be able to use the bedroom according to this, because that's my only point. That's why I'm just saying, let's go by last year's rules until we have it till next year.
Yeah,
is what I'm saying.
But this situation only applies to the payment of the license fee. Once the payment is done, then
but
it's done. He's been granted.
He's going to pay according to this, but you look at the code for enforcement.
Yeah,
what you're saying.
We can't rely on this language for an enforcement action because this language doesn't trump what the code says. We haven't changed the code. This is just meant to be informational, and you know what happens? You attempt to reduce legal language into lay language so it's easily understood, and perhaps you could now argue that that we don't have a working definition of bedrooms, because we can't, we can interpret this in different ways. But this is only meant to help you fill out the licensing form. It's only meant to help you decide how much money you need to send us along with your permit. Suspending, there's nothing here to enforce, or there's nothing here to suspend at this point, because we can't go take somebody's license away because they, their number of bedrooms differs from how the code defines it.
Because I know people who sublet that do not think they need a license, so that's my problem.
Okay, we're not asking for one, Mr. Chairman. Go ahead.
And what I felt, we sometimes have a need to get a hold of a property owner. And I felt as though asking, since many people are available by email, I thought asking for the property owner's email address would be helpful. I was asked by someone that they rent the place, and as far as occupancy goes, do we want to call a two-year-old or a three-year-old or a six-month-old an occupant when it comes to occupancy? Because our code defines maximum occupancy per home. And what I did is I brought it to the commissioners as an idea to say, do we want to amend it? And we talked about the age of one, we talked about the age of 12, we talked about different ages. And I got consensus from people that 5 years. Now, it was a clearly, this has caused some upheaval. It was not meant to. It was trying to clear up, clean up. There was no intent to be overstepping or overreaching. For the fact that it is, I sincerely apologize. Now that I know the sensitivity that commissioners have to amending something like this, I can assure you what I will do is before we change anything for next year, I'll give you guys a black line, red line version, and before we change anything, I will give you guys plenty of, we will work on new forms in October. Mm-hmm. I will give you guys in November or December a red line version of any changes that we're recommending, so that we have a month or two or three to review it before they go into effect. I can assure you that it's a live and learn moment. And before I change anything, I will give you a version like this, which is what it was last year, what it is the year before, if you want. We'll highlight it, we'll define it long before it needs to go into effect.
And well, to your point, I think that prior to that process, sometime later this year, we need to put on the agenda and just put it in the code to sublet.
Excellent.
Do we require the license or do we not? We may not all agree, but we should. We need to vote on it one way or another and decide where it's required.
Okay, and I also printed Rehoboth, Lewis, Bethany, Flamwick, and South Bethany, and their license applications are very different from ours, much different, and I would like to be the point person on that application, if you don't mind, if the council has an opposition.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're really well done.
Okay.
All right, we'll do that then. All right, can we move on? Next one is to discuss and possibly vote on a policy of having town employees meet and greet residents and visitors whose residential dwellings are on private property. So, Anna or Courtney? Yes.
I brought this up because I learned at the public safety meeting that there was an initiative that was being considered to go door-to-door to meet residents, tenants, visitors, et cetera, on private property. And my concern with this is that I have this, I think you all know by now, I have this problem with government overreaching and being into the lives of people on vacation, into my life, your life, anybody's life. I think when you come to the beach, you like to unpack it to the beach, and the last thing you have on your mind is being greeted by the town or town employees when you might be there to get away from the city life and enjoy every precious moment of your vacation. So I think that the way we need to get the information out, rather than being so government-friendly, which doesn't set well with me, is that we give the information about our bonfires, our movies, our all the events we have, we give them to the homeowners, to post in the properties, we give them to the realtors. We have all kinds of information we can give out. I don't want to risk liability for the town. Dogs have bitten people. excuse me, men, and this testicles in this town, where a $300,000 settlement was done in court, out of court. So we've had people fall on a very, no harm intended, we've had people trip on a private property owner's lawn because of a slight indention where thousands of dollars were settled in there through the homeowner's insurance company. So the liability to the town with any employee entering the property when there's a way to get information and be friendly, family-friendly, people-friendly. There's lots of other options. I just didn't want to risk it, and I wanted it to not be an initiative of the town, but if the other, and I don't know if Mark can update us if it's really serious or not, but if I'm in if this idea that I heard about the public safety committee that was announced, if that's really happening.
I haven't heard a recording of the meeting.
Could you help me understand what the idea is?
Well, I discussed it with Mark after the public safety committee meeting, and so he can tell you what he told me as far as an initiative.
I'm very protective of my testicle, so I understand. I understand liability, and I think I do. But let me take it from, and this will just take a minute, 2 or 3 minutes to explain. So bear with me. It is my philosophy in running a town hall that before we reach into anyone's pocket to say you need to pay more, we need a new tax, we need a new license fee, we need more money, that we collect the money that we ought to be collecting from our revenue streams that are established. And Sam and I have worked together to try to do a better job of collecting delinquent parking tickets, as an example. A year ago, we probably had, if I had to guess, about 150 people that were 6 or 8 months delinquent in their beach tax. We had probably 50 people that hadn't paid a beach tax in 3, 4, 5, 6 years. We just never took the time to collect. I guess, I don't know. And so what I've done is that list got down to about 12 people who hadn't paid their beach tax because we collected. We're not a collection agency, but we try to collect. And we even shocked people at the window when they came in for a business license or building permit to say, you haven't paid your beach tax in 3 years. We can't issue this. And we collected money. Okay? This is the nature. It is something that David King and I talked about many times when we served on the Budget and Finance Committee together, that we have a good deal of people who don't get a business license when they rent, or don't pay an accommodation tax when they rent. We know that when we try to identify these people, we collect a lot more money. Our accommodations tax income is up this year over last year, in part because of the efforts that we made. Part of my philosophy is let's try to collect what we ought to be collecting before we say we need new revenue sources. My philosophy was let's cut unnecessary expenses, collect what we ought to, which is one of the many reasons why our surplus is growing. With that in mind, what I thought of hasn't been adopted, hasn't been formalized, hasn't been committed to. What we thought about is, internally, we thought about is having an initiative where we take actually, for lack of a better word, employees, administrators, not police officers, but friendly people that are more as ambassadors, to walk around Memorial Day to property owners. We didn't discuss private property versus public right away. So there was no contemplation that we would enter anybody's houses, or we'd knock on doors, or that we would assault or in any way anyone. And that what we would do is we would ask them if they're an owner. If they're an owner, we'd hand them a copy of our newsletter. Welcome to Dewey Beach. We hope you have a great summer. Here's the business card of the town manager. Here's the name of the commissioners, whatever it is. And hand them a friendly newsletter, as an example. On the other hand, if they say they're a renter, what we would do is we would give them some basic beach rules. We'd tell them what bonfires are, you know, some emergency numbers, let them know what they need to do for parking permits, trash, et cetera, and hand them that. Then what we would do is we would make a log, and we would say, a renter. So as we walk away, we say they rent the property. And it would be a way for us to understand and get some kind of verification that a house is being rented.
Now, this is something we've talked about. We there's no plan to do it. There's no policy that we have done. We haven't decided that we're going to act on this. But what I want to try to do is either with the internet or observation, I want to try to understand how I can get the 20, 10, 20, 30, I don't know what percentage is, of people who don't pay their, who don't get a business license to rent and or don't get an accommodation tax. How can we try to identify that?
So the agenda item said discuss and possibly vote on it.
I don't know. This was an item that was on the agenda, not by me. What happened is this was a discussion that I had internally at town hall. We haven't committed to doing anything. And based on this agenda item, based on everything else, I can assure you, we will not be doing this.
Okay. So what?
We don't need. Well, okay. So well, I was the mayor announced at the meeting. She told the public safety committee members that this was going to happen this summer. So that's why I put it on the agenda. Because number one, I was concerned that there would be asking personal information and collecting record of people staying at properties. Because right here on the application form, you can find out who rents and doesn't rent by enforcing this. You turn it in. If you don't turn this in, then you need to be tracked. In my opinion, that's how you get people. Or don't pay. So I can't see going door to door in Dewey Beach collecting anything personal from tenants or homeowners. We've got the homeowner records. I think it's an invasion of privacy, and I think it's a liability for the town.
You and I
want to. Well, no, I was informed, and then I talked. I got it on the agenda, and I said to Mark, "What is this about?" And he talked about giving one white sheet to this sheet of paper to a homeowner, this sheet of paper to a person who's renting. Once you find out what their purpose is at the property, and give them the rules, and
right,
be really friendly.
Well, Mark explained it clearly, because he's not
trying
to do it.
Okay,
move on.
We've been all afternoon, all morning here. We've been here. Anna brings up an issue, and then it says, "Oh, never mind. We're not going to do that." But the reason Anna brought up the issue to begin with was because she saw it in an announcement or writing. So this is starting to become a bull.
Oh, I didn't make the announcement.
You know, when this stuff shows up,
I didn't even know what
it
was.
It shows up at extractive meetings, and then Anna gets worked up about it. I get worked up about it, and then we hear, "Oh. Never mind, we changed our mind. We're not
girls. I never changed my mind."
No, it was an announcement at a committee meeting. I attended.
It wasn't an announcement, Anna. They wanted to get information out, and I said Mark was thinking about this. I'll talk to him to see if he can get the information out. It was not.
I was not aware of what
we were going. I understood that we were going door to door this summer. It was the town employees who were going door to door.
They were thinking about it.
If the town wants to be a nice guy and get information out, it's fine. Get a tent, put the Dewey Beach logo on a pop-up tent, and sit it out along the streets and have Ashley and whoever else sit there and hand out the brochures and say, "Welcome to Dewey Beach." Or some of the friendly businesses.
Can you hand out the brochures?
Or some of the friendly businesses set up a little table in their lobby and have people come in, say, "Welcome to Dewey Beach, we're the town, here's whatever you want to hand out." That's friendly. But showing up at my tenant's door when they just checked in or whatever and saying, "I'm from the town and we're here to talk to you and we need to have this and we need all this information," I have a problem with that.
There was never a contemplation to do that.
Well, that's what it sounded like.
It didn't sound like that to me because I never.
I understood you to say you had a staff meeting where you would ask their names because you want to find out who rents and who does. Oh, that's what I understood from our conversation, so I apologize if I was wrong. But it was a sheet. It was where you would actually write down.
He just said that earlier. And if you're going to data mine, I think there's more less intrusive ways to go about the data mine than this.
Planning on doing this.
You can't find out who's running and who's paying their license without getting it, collecting information.
Yeah, I feel like we're arguing about something.
I had so much fear about this item, the liability in this town. I figured if this is even being considered, I would like to have know if the majority wants to act it or if they continue discussing.
Right,
it's a policy issue.
Well, why don't we vote
it's a policy
on not,
issue.
Why don't we vote on not? I would encourage you to make a motion and vote that we not do it.
I so move that we do not go door to door in Dewey Beach. I move that we do not consider a policy of collecting information or welcoming our guests, visitors, homeowners by doing a door to door meet and greet.
Can you add to that we will not have the secret police kind of spying on people.
Well, that's okay. I mean,
I'll second your motion because I actually kind of feel the same way.
Okay, good.
Okay. Does anyone want to vote on it?
You got a second. I think we should call
vote on the vote. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Perfect.
Not doing it.
Thank you.
Moving on. All right, do we have the police report, please, Sam? Keep it short, please.
I promise you.
All right, we're in our final weekend of training for seasonal police officers. They'll start hitting the street on May 15th when our season starts. You just got trained at CPR, too, Chief, right?
I'm fine, Chief. Thank you.
Give you a brief recap of what we've been starting to pick up on a few complaints. We handled one at 186 Rodney, actually was across from the police department, where a picnic table was taken from Rodney residents, taken over to the Siesta Motel, and then launched off the balcony and went through the roof next door to it. So we had one victim as a criminal mischief. We had one victim as a theft because they took a picnic table. We've got video footage from the motel, and we're close to making an arrest on that.
How much damage to the home?
It poked a hole through the roof of it.
Oh my God! Okay.
Here's what at 6 St. Louis, we had some neighbors catch a person inside a residence, and actually they were showing up. There it was. One maintenance guy going around back, one guy was at the front, and as they opened the door, the guy fled out the back. They got a pretty good description. Our officer checked the area, was unable to locate him, but my detective has arrested a person that fits this MO a few weeks back for staying in a house. He's not taking anything. He just doesn't have any place to live. We're investigating one at 108 Jersey Street where an unknown suspect gained entry into the residence, stayed in there, didn't take anything, didn't damage anything. And the 109 McKinley is where we actually arrested him for sleeping in the house prior. We believe it's the same guy, so we're still investigating that. The only problem is the probation and parole picked him up on a violation, apparently cut his bracelet off, triggered the alarm. They went out and got him. He's incarcerated now, so we got to get over to the correction facility and interview him. 8 Salisbury Street, where somebody took a sculpture from a porch, we're investigating that. Had one 2 weekends ago, 8 Houston Street, where a Ford Ranger pickup was reported stolen. We looked at our video footage, the crime cameras, everything. Of course, the cameras are on patrol, so it's not constantly looking at the street. But the vehicle was found secured in a parking lot with no damage, no sign of forced tampering with a lock or anything. So we've got the owner of the vehicle back with no damage, no mischief to it. But we didn't see any, you know, we haven't been able to determine how it got there. We investigated a tag stolen off a Coca-Cola truck at Cape Casa, and we had a beach cruiser bike taken from the starboard. Our complaints are starting to pick up. Last weekend we had quite a bit of complaints from some University of Maryland students. We're still on our winter schedule, which means we're running one shift all day work. We've got an overlap. We'll have two during peak time in the early evening to the about 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, then we're back in the morning again. So we'll get to you. It's May 15th, right around the corner. But like Todd said this morning, I also, you know, on May 15th, we also are going to have to do this beach out here. That falls under my department until Todd gets his staff out there as far as the drinking and littering and that kind of stuff. He said this morning to you folks, they start on duty on May 25th or 23rd. Our season kicks over the 15th for that short period of time. You know, we're trying to cover that too. So we're pretty busy. We've got, I put the request out to all municipal chiefs for the Memorial Day weekend and getting extra police in here. Lieutenant Hawker's handling Memorial Day. Also made a request to state police to get their mounted patrol back in here. I knew that we've got a new Sussex County Major. Most of you met Major Simpson at the public safety meeting shortly after the homicide. He is since retired from state police, and Major Hawkins has been promoted to that position. He used to be at the training academy, so I reached out to him, and he's made the request. I'm taking over 4th of July. We will be having fireworks this year, unofficially. I've been attending some meetings with DLDOT and some other state agencies. The problem is, if you know where that lot is up there where Jungle Gyms is, last year it was the first year for us to actually experience, we always seen the aftermath of Rehoboth's fireworks. Well, now there's a whole team that's from the state parks all the way to Lewis, and Dewey Beach is, we're a part of it. And in the emergency planning and all, what to do with the people, 4th of July is going to be interesting for us this year because that whole entire grass lot you see up there at the command post last year, I was watching, the Kiwanis parked cars up there. They would take several thousand cars. This year, that's under development. They've lost all that parking. Ours is going to happen the same time Rehoboth goes off. That's what the Coast Guard Fire Marshal permits say. So you've got to take all those thousands of cars, and they've got to go somewhere. And DLDOT was really antsy about what we're going to do. Now, the state park has opened up Gordon's Pond, but that capacity up there is only about 400 vehicles. And the outlets are saying, being 4th of July is on a Friday night, our store is open. Don't have all your people parked up here for our customers. So we're going to experience something really unique on this 4th of July, I think. And I've been attending meeting after meeting. I'm already to the 4th of July. Memorial Day, we're at 0 hour for that. But this Memorial Day, we're really planning. And like I said, I'll keep the commissioners, and we're going to let you folks know about any changes in traffic, anything DLDOT's got in mind to kind of get traffic flowing. But I foresee this year it's going to be one thing very challenging for getting around during the 4th of July weekend down in this area.
Yeah.
You know,
because I had last year, because it only took 5 hours to get from Indian River or back up to Lewis.
Yeah.
Five hours.
One of the things we do, we're from the command post, we're hooked in with what's called the TMC, or Traffic Management System, with DLDOT. They're monitoring all the cameras along one from the command center, and they were sending a feed in to us. Well, this year, they've actually, and I'm going to test it, we're going to send a feed from our crime cameras. I'm going to give them access and send a feed up to the BEMA building where they can look at our, like, Collins Street area, and that can tell them how far traffic's backed up so they can signal the lights. So we're trying with some new technology, we're trying to make things better. We're still going to have the emergency lane for emergency vehicles to get through on the shoulder of the northbound lane in case we've got to get to the hospital or company has to come up. But that's what we're working on. I encourage each and every one of you, if you see the officers, stop and say hi to them. Tell them thanks for coming. They're looking forward to coming down here. And it's good for them. It's kind of bad for me. A lot of our full-time or seasonals that you're used to seeing got picked up by other law enforcement agencies full-time. They started their police career. Matter of fact, Brandon has graduated from the Newcastle County Police Academy. I know you've seen him run the video back here during the meetings over the years. So I've lost a lot of experienced ones, got a lot of green ones. Matter of fact, today they're at State Police getting their weaponless defense training. They had to go up there to get training. So, don't hesitate to say hi to them and introduce yourselves to them and help them get accustomed to Dewey Beach. That's all I have.
Oh, Fred, would you like to go next and then make the
Mayor. The mayor and I were informed by Officer Ogden from Newark, who's on the Public Safety Committee, that your staff may be a little strained because of the cameras. So I think I was concerned about that you have what you need to. They said it takes more time to first season with these, and are you going to be okay, is my question. Is there anything you need that we need to be aware of?
Excuse me. I think we're going to be okay. Like I said, it's our first summer using the crime cameras.
Right.
That's one of the things, and I've never been asked my men down in the department. I'm not a big stat guy. Stats kind of tell you one thing. It's about how the public feels, whether they feel safe in the town, whether they think the town's kind of safe to be in. I gauge that a lot more than I do numbers. And one thing that's been brought to our attention, that these other agencies that are using crime cameras seen, with more crime being detected because the eyes are out there all the time, your numbers could go up. Doesn't mean anything's really changed. It means more being picked up. And I can say that because years ago, and when Jim LaVille was mayor and we had 40 seasonals, our arrests were a lot higher then because we had more foot soldiers out on the street issuing tickets and stuff. So, you know, just kind of take that into context. Our numbers could go up. That doesn't necessarily mean a bad thing as far as, you know, crimes picked up. It could be a good thing.
Yeah. So, Sam, what he said was that the crime goes up for the minor.
The minor.
And the serious ones, it goes down. And that's what we want.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's great. All right. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thank you.
Stick around for a moment.
Really? All right. Well, would you like to give your report next anyway, or do you want to go first? It's up to you then.
Oh, I don't care. Okay. Your report?
Whatever you want.
Okay. The issue that I had been asked to focus on during my agenda item was the Dickinson Street improvements that were voted on at our last meeting in a haste to get accomplished prior to the opening of the season on Memorial Day weekend. That new plan that was adopted by the commissioners at the last meeting was the subject of a lawsuit filed by Mr. Pyrie and his attorneys, who questioned whether the design was compliant with federal compliant with fire regulations and compliant with DLDOT standards. A temporary restraining order hearing was scheduled, at which the court denied his request for a restraining order, but then scheduled a hearing to occur in a couple of weeks. Thank you. And during the interim, the expectation would be that the parties would be able to obtain information from DLDOT and information from the fire marshal that would either confirm representations made by Mr. Pyrie's attorneys or would do the opposite. In the interim, Mr. Sills of DBE collected a lot of information, shared it directly with Mr. Pyrie, and we were able to confirm that our proposal did not violate applicable design standards, and that interestingly we found that surveyors determined that there was a good foot of width, maybe closer to 16 inches of width between Dickinson Street and the parking lot that serves the rudder, and that if we were to lay our sidewalk entirely on our property and not use any portion of that property, we would have a poor design. We would have a very narrow stretch of property that would be subject to being maintained by someone else. It would be something of a hazard because the sidewalk would be raised. This area wouldn't. People would very likely trip and could hurt themselves. And that additionally, that 16 inches of width was thought to be, if the sidewalk was located over that, that would allow for a wider Dickinson Street, which would serve everyone's interests to make it more pleasing to look at and more safe to operate over and so forth. So, we were able to reach a resolution with Mr. Pyrie that called for some incorporation of comments made by DLDOT, primarily Del Dot, although saying that they had no jurisdiction, had offered some suggestions, which we were able to incorporate into the plan. The plan is largely, I would say, consistent, I mean, very much consistent with that approved by this group. And I think that we'll find as it functions, it will actually function better than what we might have expected from the old plan. The primary issue was that the initial parking space on the right as you turn into Dickinson Street was eliminated so that cars trying to wait for someone to leave that spot wouldn't possibly get backed up onto SR1. So we eliminated one spot there. We just confirmed some distances, how many parking spots would be in the median, and we reduced the median from a 3-foot sidewalk to an actual 1-foot median. Del Dot did not think that that would be that directing pedestrians to that sidewalk would promote safety. In fact, they thought it was a bad idea because it was something of a road to nowhere. It didn't connect on the front or the back, and that it would be fairly narrow and that you really didn't want to direct pedestrians to that spot anyway. So that's been made into an actual median, which has the added benefit of taking two additional feet to use to widen the Dickinson Street paved area that would be used for traffic. So with those considerations in mind, there were a number of others, but they're all very minor. The biggest issue that we were able to accomplish is to get Mr. Pyrie's consent to put the sidewalk over his property. So we have a much better design. We have a wide 5-foot wide sidewalk, we have a wider road, and reaching an agreement to dispose of the lawsuit in accordance with these design standard agreements gave us the added benefit of not having to scrap the entire project, because according to Mr. Sills of DBE, who is performing the construction out there, that we didn't have another day to waste. We would not have had time to do this if we lost another day to litigation. And if, again, we didn't reach an agreement, we would have lost many more days, and we would have been in a very untenuous circumstance for the rest of the summer trying to decide whether we could have one column or two.
Okay.
All right. Sorry about that.
Okay.
The case will be dismissed first thing next week. We have.
It better be.
I mean, but technically speaking, it's not dismissed until the court signs off on the stipulation, and the stipulation will be provided on probably Monday.
All right, very good. Do you have anything to add?
Just two things. One is we ended our year last year. We our numbers show a $292,000 surplus. That was on a $50,000 or $60,000 budget. At this point, what will happen is the auditors begin their work Monday, and the auditors will come in and take a month or two to verify all numbers before we circulate and verify the numbers. So, but our numbers show a very strong year, and again, it's a $292,000 surplus, meaning we brought in $292,000 more than we spent last year. That in spite of the fact the transfer tax is down about $100,000 from last year. April looks good. I got a preliminary April profit loss, and it's very good also. So our finances look pretty strong. As far as town manager, I just want to mention two things. One, last month we talked about temporary speed bumps that were going to go up on West Street. They're installed and they're done. So that's done. Secondly, I have been remiss, and I wanted to mention just very quickly to thank and acknowledge we have two citizens that moved out of the area a month or two ago, and that's Don and Suzanne Ziegler. And I want to acknowledge as both those people have done a tremendous amount for our town. Suzanne served on various boards, election committees, et cetera, and Don Ziegler contributed many hundreds, if not thousands, of hours to the town. And I still stay in touch with them as friends, but we have lost them as neighbors in Dewey Beach. And I just want to thank them. I've been remiss in that, but I think that they were terrific citizens for this town.
and they are
missing. Gophers have also moved, or they're moving.
Oh, okay, So it's not in memorial. They're still alive and well, but I just want to acknowledge that.
All right, thank you. Any public comment? David?
Two comments. One has to do with the afternoon at 3 o'clock. It deals both with the chemical rise and with possible rezoning amendments for the neighborhood residential district. And the second issue is that the town commissioners have before them two recommendations from the Planning Commission related to sea level rise that in my mind are timely and important. These have to do with putting in the zoning code a matter of right for people whose residences are located in a flood zone which also encroach in the right of way to be able as a matter of right to elevate their building to FEMA and the National Flood Insurance Program standards. And I encourage you to put those on your agenda for your next meeting with a required public hearing and to enact those.
Any other public comments?
Dale? You asked earlier, and I didn't have the information at the time, second annual Dewey Beach Lions Club Bay Day, September 6th, for families and friends, and you got to, starts at 10 a.m. in the morning with games and activities for the entire group, and tournaments begin at 3 p.m., cocktails at 5 p.m., and dinner at 7 p.m. So think about it. Contact Melissa Klink at mjklink@comcast.net or 302-542-1124, and I would encourage all the commissioners to try to be there. The Lions Club is a group that really tries to help the town out quite a bit, so, and the area in general. September 6th.
All right, no other comments? Any commissioners' comments? Anybody? We done?
We just somehow need to get a date for when we're going to meet again, I guess.
Well, I think, we can talk about that. I'll talk to us meeting about that.
We heard really good comments about, with Fred's report, about David Sills trying to move that project along. I think we need to thank him for all his hard work.
Yeah.
I'll thank him.
I think it might be.
Well, sure.
I have a question.